hear the latest release of worldly travel with technology along the way. That's right, Horizon Zero Dawn is finally out to scratch all your mechanical overload survival What?
The Switch.
What, like a light switch?
No, the Nintendo Switch.
What is a Nintendo Switch? This week, the Nintendo Switch was released. Stay tuned for more.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Jason just totally pulled a, I don't even know her, there in the intro. Hi, everybody, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, March the 5th of 2017, episode number 678 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, joining me in studio, as always. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Words.
Hello.
Greetings.
Sorry to hear you're still sick, but you sound a lot better. You look a lot better.
I feel better. Well, I've also got a lot of makeup on. no, I feel a lot better than I did.
But you have this weird thing with your taste buds. Like you were telling me earlier that chocolate tastes like soap.
Yeah, chocolate. Actually, everything tastes vaguely soap-like. I don't know if it's the Zithromax, but it started happening before I was on azithromycin. I've been on two different antibiotics, so... Mm-hmm. But I feel a lot better than I have in a while.
Well, good. Feeling better is good. That's where we want you to be.
Just, you know, I feel like Frank, even smiling makes my face ache.
It's funny because when you were talking about, like, you know, that you don't taste things the same, my first thought, y'all, was I want her to lick a Nintendo Switch cartridge live on air. And I was going to bypass that whole thing because I'm like, okay, that joke is like played out. Like, you know, everybody who wanted clicks did a watch me lick a thing. And to think that girl that licked the PSP was a fame whore at that time. But now y'all licking Nintendo Switch cartridges like the candy. But
this would be science.
Yes, this is science. But now Dark Sakura
gives
a good...
And then you'd have my DNA on your games.
Yes, and now... And now I'm like, Dark Sakura, now we have a reason why for science, exactly, that maybe she does need to lick a Nintendo Switch cartridge because I want to know if under the right chemical thing, maybe it tastes like soap as well.
Well, if you want. It's your stuff.
All right, I'm going to think about it while we introduce Techmaster Loki.
The other thing is what it would taste like with those little miracle berries.
All right, Techmaster Loki, how are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
you sound a little exhausted when you say that. I'm fine. Like it's been a real long week or something.
It's exhausting eating those 11 breadsticks.
And then Dark Sakura ate one. She's like,
I was wondering, for science, you know, since she's tried chocolate and it tastes like soap, maybe soap tastes like chocolate.
I'm not going to lick soap. That's unhealthy.
Feed Dark Sakura tonight's
like,
Orange
Mario. The coffee. It's like I'm getting a hint of what the flavor would have tasted like, and then soap. Like freaking ivory bar soap. Seriously.
Now, I'm sure Dark Sakura, you might be wondering, like, why is Dark Sakura eating soap to know this? But I'm sure as a child, she had soap in her mouth a lot.
True.
And got to know the taste very well.
Well, a good way to know how something tastes is to smell it.
Yes.
Because your olfactory sense, which I have none right now, mm-hmm. and your sense of taste are tied. Mm-hmm. And when one of those is... depressed or whatever, then the other is going to be affected.
And that's the exact thing with the Nintendo Switch cartridge for me. Like, I don't need to lick it because you can smell that new case smell that isn't exactly pleasant. It's not a new car smell. A new car smells nice. A new cartridge, when you open that, you know, Zelda case for the first time,
it's kind of a new shoe.
It's I don't even know if I go that far. Like, it just smells like a chemical that I don't want to eat. That's what it smells like, a chemical.
Well, it's just, well, and everything vaguely smells either like soap or blood. There's no in between. This is the stupidest sick I've ever had next to walking pneumonia.
Or is Dark Sakura just cleaning her victims before she kills them?
So, if they put that stuff on the cartridge because they don't want you, did they put it on the controllers? Because I don't think they put it on the controllers.
I don't think they did put it on the controllers.
Have your kids put it in their mouth yet?
I'm sure a kid is. What are you talking about? Yes, you do have kids.
What? Ask Nelly.
Hold on a minute. Did Loki just come out here and be like, I don't have kids? Like, why are you a pathological liar on tonight's OLR, Loki? Yes, you do have kids.
It's just my path to presidency, right?
Girl.
I don't have kids, Rob. You have kids.
You're the one that has the kids. These aren't my kids.
I don't have kids. They're yours now.
bringing him over. Bye.
You touched him less.
You're the one that's been wiretapping my house. All right. Anyway.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
No, I don't have a Switch, so obviously I can't eat anything that's in the Switch box.
Right. So you have you have kids, but you don't have a Switch. That's the difference.
Yeah, I have kids and no Switch. And
you just put everything.
And
else
I'm not planning
on
buying a Switch, and also didn't buy Zelda because I don't have $60 right now to spend on Zelda. So I will just wait a couple weeks and play it then.
Money, serious business.
Well, I could buy it now, but then there may be a chance that I won't be able to afford food later in the week.
That would be unfortunate. Yeah,
I would just rather not do that. Because I don't need to. I'm already playing Skyrim, so I don't need to. You know.
All right. We'll talk a little more about the Switch here in a moment because it's that thing everybody's talking about. But I want to get to our chat room, of course, and acknowledge you guys live in our chat room because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at VogNetwork.com. That's VOGNetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, who talked also a lot tonight about the Nintendo Switch. Now, obviously, There was a lot that happened in games this week. It could be easy to sit here. We could probably talk for 3 hours about the Nintendo Switch. However, there's a ton of other stuff that happened in gaming. Game Developers Conference happened this week. Hello. But it was interesting. We didn't really get a lot of news at a Game Developers Conference, did we? We got like weird little like tidbits and insight, like like that 8-bit Zelda picture that came up where everybody was like, oh my God, it's Zelda Maker. But no, like, A, Nintendo would not announce Zelda Maker at a GDC type event. B, what it ended up really being was that, you know, Breath of the Wild was basically created in that 8-bit environment to build some of the, you know, ideas that they had going into that game were kind of executed in the 8-bit format before they did the big fancy world that they have now. Making a long story very short.
Yeah, they're just prototyping the concepts.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about like what goes into game development. That's really it. I mean, there's other little things here and there, like the first 10 minutes of the Gone Home successor. Was it Tacoma? Is that what it's called? Like, I think like the first 10 minutes of that were shown. So just like some little tidbits here and there, but not a very news-filled Game Developers Conference. Nothing like on the scale of like PlayStation Move or anything, which, again, Game Developers Conference is not E3. It is for those types of
but
talks.
But I would totally go for more, you know, a better PlayStation Move, if you will.
Well, isn't that kind of what they're trying to do with the VR and those controllers and everything?
Right, but I mean, like, the PlayStation's not doing that. They're like, well, yeah, we have these Move controllers. Those will work, right? Mm.
Some comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, because of course, again, we tape live on Sunday nights. I want to get to some of our chatters. SSG100 Matt, talking about the taste test for Dark Sakura, says, the real question we need to know, what does Pinkberry taste like? I think someone should go get her some to test this.
I agree with this, but I will tell you this. I have orange sherbet at home, and it tastes kind of off too.
Does it taste like soap?
Not quite like soap, but like orange medicine.
Oh, like Dayquil or something.
Kinda.
Yeah.
It's like the edge between this tastes really good to this tastes like fucking Dayquil.
Mm-hmm.
So, or like Theraflu.
Dr. C in chat says, I just thought that thing was neat. Interesting way to prototype for Breath of the Wild. Yeah, I thought it was a neat discussion, too. And that's, you know, again, what GDC is really for is about, like, here's how the sausage is made type of thing. Here's the thought process that went into what we made. And, yeah, Black Wolf kind of echoing there in chat, GDC shouldn't be for news anyway. Yeah, I can agree with that to a point, but you also, in the past, they have dropped a few bombshells here and there, but that's usually Sony that's done that, right? They did the Move 1 year, and they announced something else 1 year. Was it the VR, or was it something else they announced GDC? I want to say it was another one of those things that kind of came and went. I don't think it was the VR. But anyway, like, you know, sometimes with those tech development, you might get a little few drops here and there because, well, you have all these game developers there. They want these developers to think about, ooh, how could I develop for that, right? That's why you announced the PlayStation Move early like that is, ooh, how can I develop for this? But, you know, you're not going to get like, oh my God, Half-Life 3. Like, that's not going to fucking happen at a game developers conference. So, you know, it is for talks and a lot of networking that goes on at those events for sure. Wheeling and dealing of those sorts. But otherwise, yeah, it is for the developers. Thank you, Bobby Blackwolf. That's it. PlayStation Home was announced at GDC. That's right. That was the other thing I was thinking of. Thank you. Let's see. Also in chat, over at live.vognetwork.com. Act Deft is wondering, did Dark Sakura confuse Dove soap with Dove chocolate? That's a That's a great question. Very, you know your products at a supermarket. Very well done. Let's see. Stoppy, talking about the 8-bit Zelda thing, says, I call that BS. It's like saying Checkers was a prototype for tactical RPGs. I don't know. I kind of thought it was neat. There's a lot of... There is a lot of stuff from Zelda 1 that I see in the new Zelda, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Being that I was doing prototyping all this week,
yeah,
no, that is how you do prototyping, because you don't want to spend a ton of time and money on an elaborate prototype when you're just prototyping certain concepts like the fire spreading thing and trying to solve, you know, puzzles in multiple ways. You don't need anything elaborate. You just want to try it so you can get feedback right away.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, again, I don't know all the insides of your project you're doing, and I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm kind of surprised you guys didn't go to GDC for a day or anything like that. I was kind of surprised. So
yeah, we don't think we need to.
Not in the budget.
Well, not in the budget, and it's not really needed at this point yet.
Fair enough. All right, so let's talk about here for our kickoff topic tonight. Let's talk about the Nintendo Switch. What do y'all think over in chat over at live.fognetwork.com? Those of you that picked one up, do you think it was worth the money? Are you happy with your purchase? Where's your head out with the Nintendo Switch? I'll talk about my thoughts in a little bit. I want to get to Dark Soccer, though, because you spent, even though you and Dan did not buy a Switch, but you did buy Zelda Breath of the Wild on Wii U.
Yep.
And you played a buddy's Switch
yep.
for a good 30 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. He brought his Switch to work.
Mm-hmm.
So while he was working, I was on lunch. I played for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And so you didn't walk away that impressed with it, huh?
Not really. It's nothing that I would want to go out and spend money on right away or would have waited for the reservation or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So for me, there was two... I don't know. The controller, when using just the controller, felt too lightweight, too almost flimsy to me. I mean, the buttons were nice. They were responsive, but it didn't feel substantial. It had the same comfort of the Saturn analog controller, which, as I'm sure everyone knows, is my favorite home controller. But it didn't have the same sturdiness and heft to it.
Are we talking about the controllers attached to the screen, or are we talking about that little puppy dog shell? The controllers?
The shell.
That? Okay, okay.
Just the control, because we had the little screen out independently.
Right.
And graphically, I didn't see too much of a difference, except it was a little bit harder to see, because that smaller screen,
mm-hmm.
it still actually was, because even on the Wii U, there's areas where you'll get draw distance issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing was happening on that little screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then... the other thing is that it was kind of hard to see, like the motion was a little bit harder to detect on that smaller screen. And then with it connected with the Joy-Con connected on either side, it at that point then felt too bulky. So it's just like there wasn't a happy medium with it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tried it on a TV yet. I'm curious, but I would actually be more curious to see it on my TV so that I can actually switch channels. This is something that Dan and I did with Symphony of the Night, where we had the PlayStation one and the Saturn one, and we're switching between channels to see what, you know, to do a graphical comparison. I'd really like to get to the same place in both games and then switch channels to see what it looks like to compare, because I think doing it on two different TVs wouldn't be a really good test, because different TVs display different ways.
Right.
But I'd like to see it like on my TV, mm-hmm. both ways.
So even though your perception of Zelda in particular was a little more negative, these first impressions of Switch, you're still kind of like, I'm still open to get one when the games start coming out a little later on, right? That's kind of the sense I got from you.
There's no reason for me to have one right now.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's no Animal Crossing. The other game that I wanted, Puyo Puyo Tetris,
mm-hmm.
I already own.
Right, on
PS4. I have it on PS4.
Yeah.
And so there's legitimately no reason for me to have one.
But when we start talking about the Splatoon 2s and the Mario Odysseys and whatever other surprises.
I haven't played the first Splatoon.
Oh, you're missing
out. So I'm not excited.
It's fun. You're missing out.
I'm sure it is, but I'm not excited. I mean, I have no basis of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And Mario, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not as excited over Mario games these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want there to be something that is going to, I think, be more exciting. I want something unique, something different. You know, I mean, the only thing out right now that I would want to play is Binding of Isaac 2.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you know.
And that's not actually out yet.
Yeah.
It's not in the store yet, at least not in the U.S.
They had the advance orders.
I think it's like soon. It's within the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
I think they're really trying to use the indies to kind of pace out some of the releases a little bit. Like Blaster Master is next week.
Yeah.
So, and that's, I'm really excited about that.
Dan is happier about that, but yeah. I'm still not sold. And I mean, I went into two different GameStops today because I was looking for a Wii U Pro controller, mm-hmm. which they didn't have. I got it at Target, although I did get a Jessica Jones Pop figure because it's the only place I've seen it. But, you know, and I was just talking to the staff, you know, just, you know, shooting the shit. And they're like, yeah, they all went out really quickly. But, you know, we haven't had, you know, other than that, there hasn't been too many people in asking about them. So.
So it was kind of like that initial rush, but you haven't had a lot of, like, either just people kind of know they're gone or.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, we're going to get some more. But right now, the only ones that we have in stock are orders, and they said that even then no one's come to pick some of those up.
So. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, it's been underwhelming. I love Breath of the Wild, but other than that, it feels like a generic Android tablet. If I could play Overwatch on it, I probably wouldn't complain. But yeah, it sucks there aren't other games to play. And then let's see, ActDeft in chat over at live.vognetwork.com said, I would give my opinion on the Switch, but we all know what happened. Yeah, Amazon apparently fucked a lot of people over. And I feel kind of bad because I ordered from Amazon and I got it. I was a little worried though for a minute, which is the whole reason why I had the two systems pre-ordered in the very beginning. I also had one from Best Buy, but I was able to find a home for the Best Buy one, and I don't scalp. I charged exactly what I paid for it. So it worked out all in the end or what have you. But yeah, Amazon really screwed a lot of people over. And apparently they were like charging cards when they didn't really have the inventory, or they weren't charging, they were putting the hold on them. And Amazon had no reason to do that. So I was, because they didn't have the stock for it, they didn't make good on the delivery. And I think Amazon has a big part of its case that it tries to do with Amazon Prime is that you get the release day delivery. So a lot of the crap they've been pulling, from what I'm hearing, again, my experience ended up being fine, but I know several people, not just ActDef, but I know quite a few other people that were having problems with Amazon. So I think that was kind of bullshit on Amazon's part. And I'm kind of glad they're getting dragged through the media for it. And I sort of think it's unacceptable they didn't have an answer yet. So I hope that Amazon comes out on Monday to talk a little more about how they're going to prevent that kind of crap in the future, because that was really just, it makes a lot of people question if they want to order stuff from Amazon in the future when it comes to like release day delivery and all that stuff. I mean, ordering a Blu-ray that you don't need right away or something is one thing, but you know, when you want something on the day it releases, because that's where all the hype is at or whatever, like that's what you expect. So yeah, the worst part to me is the fact that Amazon put a hold on the cards. That's the part that I can't reconcile in my mind. Like, it would be one crime for them to, well, not actual crime, but it'd just be customer service crime. It'd be one thing for them to not deliver on the promise they made, but it's a whole, like, it's even worse that they put the holds on the cards and still didn't deliver on it. That is really fucked up. And Amazon needs to answer for that. I told one of my friends to file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau, but my friend was like, oh, that never does anything. And I'm like, well, it doesn't do anything because everybody
got me a free meal once.
Everybody sits there and says, it's not going to do anything. If everybody who sat there and says it's not going to do anything did something, then it would force Amazon to at least answer the question about what's going on. And they put some, you know, very general type of thing out there, but it is really messed up that Amazon had, they were saying, come to our bookstores. We've got the Amazon's or the Nintendo Switch here at our Amazon bookstores. Come to this, and was advertising all these other ways, but yet they could not fulfill the obligations that they had in the other side. To me, that says, is Amazon too big of a company? Does it need to be broken up because it doesn't know what the other ends of the company are doing? But anyway, I won't go there, but I'm just...
No, you know what they should do instead? Sell more games through other platforms.
I see what you did there. Yeah, we'll get to that a little later. Anyway. Okay, let me talk about me and the Nintendo Switch, though, because I'm walking away from it feeling more positive. I think a lot of the complaints that have been put out here on this show, especially in regards to the amount of software that's out right now and all that stuff, the fact that the OS is pretty much half-baked, that there's a lot to come soon, that all still kind of holds true. But I will say this. I walked away from it feeling different than Dark Sakura. I thought the controllers and the shell, I really liked the way that felt. And especially when I was playing a game like Fast Racing Remix, when the HD vibrations came into play, which you can even feel in the shell, like I thought that was a really good feel for the game. So I actually like the controller. It is a little bulky when you have the controllers on the side and you're playing it as a tablet. That was not my favorite way to play, and I don't think I'll be doing that a lot. Like, I you know, tried it a couple times this weekend. Like, I would lay in bed and play Zelda or something like that, which it is kind of a small screen for a game like Zelda. There's a lot going on. I think that small screen probably works a lot better with something like probably the 1-2 Switch game or like Fast Racing Neo or something where there's not as much like writing or small details in the distance, things you're looking for that probably work a little better on a television than they do that tablet. But to the tablet's credit, I was like, wow, this is a very bright, vibrant, detailed screen. And I thought it was a neat little piece of technology, and I think the whole thing feels really sleek to me. Like, it feels like something Apple would have put out, honestly. Like, the Switch feels really nice in that regard. And one thing I do like about the OS is that everything really snaps. Everything is very fast, and I've gotten to come to accept with Nintendo systems that they're very slow and clunky. Like the Wii, it's like, now loading the Everybody Votes channel. Whoa, 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 whoa. Like in that whole thing. Or the eShop. Whoa, 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 whoa. Like it's like one loading screen turns into another loading screen, turns into, like, it's really, really slow. But on the Switch, everything is pretty fast. Like going into your picture gallery to edit the picture and share the picture is like navigating a website. It's really fast and not like a clunky mess like it kind of is on the 3DS trying to share things to Miiverse. I am a little surprised, though, that Nintendo did not take the opportunity to, when you have this friends list and you have these things that you're sharing, I'm really surprised that it didn't create a newsfeed type of thing like you have on PlayStation 4. Maybe that's something that will come in the future. I don't know. But the OS on the Switch, as we all know, is very bare bones right now. There is really not a lot there. One of the other big things that came out this week, the whole fact that friend codes are back and they're on the Nintendo Switch.
Good
which
Lord.
We thought Nintendo was fucking done with, but it looked like they weren't. However, this is a big however, it does function very differently. It's not quite as bad as it was on the Wii because, picture this, instead of a gamer tag right now, you have a barcode number. That's basically how it works. So if somebody knows your barcode number, they can still send you a friend request. You don't have to do that whole thing where it's like, I'm going to add you, then you're going to add me, and then if we both added each other, we'll be friends. Like, you don't have to wait for that whole process. You still send a friend request like you do on the other consoles. The other thing is that, strangely, even though on the Switch you can't search Twitter and Facebook for your friends, even though the system connects to Twitter and Facebook for the sharing of the pictures, you can see who you've added on Miitomo and who you've added on Super Mario Run. And though I still have not played the Fire Emblem game, but I imagine that's there too. And those games will connect to your Twitter and your Facebook. So since I added most of my Facebook Nintendo peeps through those games, they're all showing up on my list. My only grievance is that the list that's showing up is like everybody's first name, because it's not showing their tags or their Nintendo Network names or whatever. It's showing whatever they use to sign into their console at home, which most people use their first name. Now, I use Rob Roberts just because that's just become synonymous with, you know, my identity online and everything. So I know when I'm sending friend requests to people, they see Rob Roberts, and it's pretty easy to know who I am. Bobby was talking about this on his show. His name is Black Wolf, so I know who that was. But then I'll get a friend request from Chris, and I'm like, who the hell is Chris? And I'm like, this me doesn't look very familiar to me. I know like five different Chris's, and maybe this is somebody on Twitter where, like, if it was their Twitter handle, I'd know who it is instantly.
New or
if it's their Twitter
who dis?
Picture. Yeah, new Switch, who dis? That is exactly the game that I've been playing all week. So, but here's the other thing. And the reason why I haven't been giving out my friend code or really seeking out to expand my friends list right now. Why? Why do I need friends on the Switch? There's literally nothing it does. except I can see when they're online and what they're playing. Can't send them messages. I don't have any games that I can. I have Zelda and I have Fast Remix, and I probably will end up buying Shovel Knight before the week is up, and I'll probably get Blaster Master next week. That's a pretty, that's a nice little set of games there for the first 2 weeks of a console, but none of them connect to online and use my friends list yet. Fast Racing is supposed to do that in its first update, but otherwise, what's the point of a friends list right now? There really isn't one. It's just kind of like you're building it out because you hope that later on, when Splatoon 2 comes out, which is really going to need that online thing to be done, then you have your friends list built up so that you have lots of people to splatter with paint a little later on. So, anyway, even though there's some weird shit with the friend codes and these other things that are definitely like half-baked and underfinished in the OS, what it does do, it does very well, and it does it fast, and it does have me excited for, like, wow, when this gets to the holiday and Nintendo really sees out its roadmap, and you know there's a roadmap because you go to one thing and it'll be like, this feature will be enabled when we go online in June. This feature will be enabled when such and such launches in October. Like, you just like...
This feature will be enabled when we figure out how to do exactly. Networking.
It's like you see everything that's got a month with it, but... I am excited to see what it's going to look like towards the end of the year, because I think at the end of the year, this is going to function a lot more like we kind of thought it was going to in the beginning, and maybe some of these shortcomings will be fixed. Which brings me to the other thing I wanted to do here at the top of the show, which was something we talked about last week. So last week I said, what we need to do is we need to, since we know the Switch is going to change a lot before December, we need to have the world's smallest time capsule or shortest time capsule. So we're going to actually build one here in studio that we will open at the end of the year for either the Christmas show or the New Year's show. So here's the deal. Stoppy in chat says, Sky, did you remember to bring the sock? No, good news. We don't have to do the sock tonight. Well, maybe I'll put a sock in there, but... Here's the thing. Dark Sakura found at Target in the discount aisle or something. She's got this little like Darth Vader looking thing. Is this like a kid's bank or something?
Yeah, it's like a little coin bank.
Okay, well,
but perfect. It has the shape I wanted.
It has the shape. It's perfect. It actually looks like something that you could like shove up an elephant's butt. That's what it looks like to me.
It's an elephant suppository.
Exactly. But I guess that's what a time capsule should be, right? So we're gonna put some things now in the time capsule. What are we gonna put in here? We wanna put, what are our grievances with Nintendo Switch that we hope they fix by holiday? What do we hope the Switch looks like by holiday? That's what we're going to put here inside the time capsule. So I'm going to get some pieces of paper here, and I brought two pieces of paper. Sorry, I guess we'll have to share a little bit. But Loki, here you go. I'll give you a piece of paper. Save one for me because I want to start writing. I did not prepare well for this. If you guys in chat over at live.vognetwork.com have some ideas. No, I think
I don't get to contribute.
No, you get to contribute. We just have to share a little bit. Jeez. But you have
I don't
to tell
share. You on to, my own.
Tough. I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. I'm going to wash your mouth out with chocolate. All right. Anyway, I'm going to get a pen over here. We need to start talking about the grievances. Loki, I know you have some grievances. What are you going to put in the time capsule, Loki?
I don't know. I haven't actually played the system yet. I mean, I have lots of grievances. Mainly, stop releasing unfinished consoles, goddammit.
But that's... Hold on.
That's not a grievance. Yeah, I know that they can fix.
Yeah.
Well, it is one they could fix, but that's not going to be fixed for several
years. That's not something they can do by the end of the year. That's the problem.
Is it supposed to be like what I think the grievances are going to be by then? So like if I say...
No, here, let me give you an example. Here's the first thing I'm going to put in the time capsule. Did they bundle? I'm actually writing. That's what I'm talking about. Did they bundle 1-2 Switch in yet? That's the first thing I'm going to put in. Did they bundle 1-2 Switch in yet?
I'm going to put a statement. Ah, fucking hell. They delayed the new Super Mario Brothers game again.
There. You could put that in there. You just write that. I bet they delayed Mario Brothers. There. And we're gonna sign these too. You have to be responsible for the crap you put in there. All right. So there's my first. Did they bundle 1-2 Switch in yet? Signed, Rob. So Loki's putting in. Did they delay the Mario game? All right. Dark Soccer, I see you writing over there. What are you writing?
Virtual console.
Oh, yeah. Where's my damn virtual console?
I had another one, too.
And what side are you going to write?
The DS store.
Oh.
Or like some of the old games like they had on the DS store. So
like, did they add DS to virtual console? Well, they did do that on the Wii U, though. I don't know how they would do that with the Switch, because there's just the one screen. I don't know if they would do that. I guess they might. You could do something where maybe you tilt the tablet vertically and it could be two screens.
Just scrap that.
Okay.
I would go with augmented reality.
Oh.
But it doesn't have a camera on it. But if it had, it doesn't have a camera on it, does it?
No, it doesn't have a camera on it. What about virtual reality? No. Some people suspect they could go that direction with it.
No, I want augmented reality. Like, for example, if it had like a camera attachment,
mm-hmm.
you could then, you know, like things like Ingress or... You know,
Pokemon Go.
Or Pokemon Go, exactly.
Okay. Now I see where you're going with this. Because you can, we do know Nintendo is going, you might think like, well, that's not going to work, Jamie, because the tablet has nothing in it besides Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. However, we know the tablet is going to connect to your phone through an app because that's how the voice chat's going to work. So theoretically, what's stopping that tablet from being like a Pokemon Go Plus? Or something. Couldn't it work in the same way where it's using the information from your phone to get the data it needs?
Or even so, like the way that, you know, I have a first gen Apple Watch
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have the built in GPS, but it'll still, I can go walk around the block, come right. back and sync my data.
Right.
And it would pull my GPS based off my phone location.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing in theory could work on the Wii U. I mean, not the Wii U, but the Switch.
Yeah. I know. I see the people in chat saying you need a GPS attachment for that. There's no GPS. If it does Bluetooth, though, it'll connect to the phone. It could. I think it is a stretch, but why not?
Yeah, just a tad.
It's
like, hey, I've got this phone that could totally run, you know, Pokemon Go with the GPS and the data, but instead I'm going to tether to this large, cumbersome thing.
I'm not saying specifically Pokemon Go. Yeah. I'm saying you can have a more advanced augmented reality.
But the money was in Pokemon Go, so why wouldn't there be something else AR that Nintendo's going to try? I don't think it's going to be this year myself, but...
But that would be something I think would be definitely something that would get more people to buy it.
All right, well, write it down. What the fuck?
It's written down.
Write it down. All right, good. All right, let's see. I'm looking into chat over at live.vognetwork.com. JD has a good one. Better Me Import. It's dumb that it can't pull from the Nintendo account or Miitomo. That's a good point. We're gonna write that one down, and we'll credit that to JP.
Support.
Are you writing that one down for JD? Mm-hmm. Okay, make sure you sign that one for JD.
Well, I was thinking of it too, so I totally agree with that one.
So you stole it. All right.
No. I credited it to him, but I was thinking I would like Miiverse.
Fair enough. Okay. Here's a good one from Dungeon Buster. I'm gonna write this one down. Okay. Dungeon Buster said, "Has Nintendo lowered the bullshit pricing for their Pro controller yet?"
And I liked
yes.
What do you mean?
The Wii U Pro Controller went down. I'd imagine that the Switch Pro Controller
not
would go
in a
down
year.
Too.
Not in the first year. It's not going to happen. Not in the first year. But I'll write it down. I'll just write down, did any of the accessories go down in price yet? Because they're all
overpriced.
Yeah,
the dock or whatever. I saw the teardown video. That is not $90 worth of tech. That's just fucking plastic and like some pass-throughs and that's it. Some bullshit. That's what that is.
Okay. Dungeon Buster... You know, this whole writing thing doesn't make for very good radio.
Well, I can read mine then.
All right.
I've got mine. And this is only obvious. I bet the system's hacked already.
2 months to Linux.
I don't even give it that. Yeah, they're already trying to find exploits.
It's
only going to piss people off more that they block out, you know, features that most of their consumers like, you know, like being able to back up their data and stuff like that and, you know, being able to transfer saves. But, of course, we're so afraid that they're going to get hacked. Oh, my goodness, we're so afraid. It's going to get hacked anyway. So, you know what? There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. It's just going to happen.
Well, there's that whole thing about the save states and all that. I know you're mentioning, but they go online or they'll work around it. Hackers are going to hack, right?
Right. They're already trying to exploit it through the web browser.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist, but does exist. People have actually exploited that to create a web browser for it already.
Let's see. What else do I want to put in the time capsule? I think the virtual console one was good. That was one I was thinking of as well, but you already got that in there. Oh, maybe with the virtual console, though, maybe the whole, like, can we really play the games online, virtual console, like they said on the website? That's what I want to know. I'm going to write that down, okay?
I also would like to see better, like, some kind of streaming incorporation, too, you know? Like, kind of like how the PS4 does. I mean, if you could take screenshots and post them, you know, what's to say they can't get, like, recordings eventually?
And they're supposed to be doing something like that, so that's not a bad idea.
Either streaming or like, part. You know how, like, you can record video in The Sims? So,
yeah. Or, like, even that. Mario Kart, you could sort of do it, even though Mario Kart kind of cheated. Mario Kart would do the replay in a higher rendering than the actual game was. But, I mean, it worked very well. All right. Let's wrap up. Let's get the last ones written down there and throw them in the time capsule, and then we will seal it away to open up towards the end of the year.
Fruit flavors of the cartridges.
Fruit flavored cartridges.
No. We don't want that.
All right. So yeah, let's go ahead and get those last few down. So Loki, what are you writing now?
Oh, I've got three.
All right.
I bet the online service is still shit. No less than two Wii U remakes announced at E3.
Okay.
And no F-Zero.
Dungeon Buster also suggested that we had our EA and Ubisoft still committed to making games for it.
Ooh, I like that one. I like that one. Our EA and Ubisoft still committed to making games for the Switch.
Are they committed to make games already? I mean, EA's only committed to FIFA, so...
Yeah. Didn't they come out on stage, though, and do the whole... Just like they did
with
Wii U?
Yeah, they said, FIFA! Yeah. FIFA!
All right.
And that was it.
All right. We're going to fill the... I don't want the segment to go on too long, so we're going to get the rest of it out there and put them in the time capsule and seal them away.
Date it with today.
All right. Well, we'll know when it was done. All right.
I'm doing it anyway.
It was a couple days after the Switch was released. All right. I'm going to pass this down. And then, just for fun, I'm not going to tell you what this one is, because it really has nothing to do with games, but it's just a question I want to know the answer to. I want to see if we come back in December. I'll read this question in December when we open the capsule again.
And no, my game won't be done by then.
I'll show my co-host what I'm going to put in there that has nothing to do with video games, but I'm just going to put that question there to see if come December we find out what the answer is.
We should each put in, like, though, also, you know, when we add these later, we should also do, like, our top three things that we're playing this month.
Okay.
We should do that on another piece.
All right. Let's do that. We won't seal the time capsule yet. Let's do that when we come back for part B. We'll add those in here as well. All right. So I'm going to add that last question in for me and everybody else.
This is the best radio ever.
I know, right? We should have probably done this before we went live tonight, but that's all right.
No. Yeah, oh, sorry, Dungeon Buster. We've already put up our papers.
All right. Put them in. Here we go. All right. We're not going to seal the time capsule yet, but soon, because we'll come back and put in the games we're playing right now a little later. Good Lord, Loki. You couldn't make that smaller pieces. All right.
Well,
that's
you needed another part for the next question.
No, I don't.
Well, but we have to put in the time capsule.
I'll remember what I've been playing, because I'll probably still be playing Skyrim by then.
No, we'll have more. I have more paper over here. It's fine. All right. All right.
Wasteful.
All right. Speaking of things you're playing, let's talk about our gaming weeks. How is your gaming week? What types of video games have you been playing this week? Darsakura.
Well, it's kind of like Dan and I are both playing Breath of the Wild, because he misses a bunch of shit. So I'm like, hey, hubby, did you see that? Did you see that? I bet you can steal that meat. You try shooting him in the head. You know, it's just like this. I'm like, no, you're go the other way. I'm backseat driving Breath of the Wild right now. And, wow. Because I want to do the Gul'dan fight so much. And every time I get in a group and we get all the way through everybody and everything's looking awesome. And then like, oh, we're tired. We don't want to do this one anymore. Quit. I want to beat the last blah, blah. Anyway, so I've been playing, And I have been playing a lot of Bust-A-Move lately, trying to beat my 2 million point score, which I haven't yet, because eventually I'll just go, oh, fuck this shit, and stop playing. And Pokemon Go. And Miitomo. Just, like, to make outfits. I've so far made Katya in it. I've made Bianca Del Rio. I've made Lonk. I've made Petch. Monk and Petch.
Oh, so I thought you were going to just have a whole drag queen family, but you just did two.
Yeah, I just did two.
All right.
I might make another one, though. I'm thinking about making Angina, just because I want a bald me in there. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think who else would be, like, totally iconic in appearance. Maybe Violet Chachki. I don't know. But so far, I just have, like, my favorites, Bianca and Katya.
Okay.
And then, although, okay, other complaint time. There's this person who's making this little tiny me called Alice. And I'm fucking sick of seeing Alice all over the fucking little fashion show crap that they have after you do the closet. Alice, stop. Get a life, girl. Seriously.
Did Alice go away yet? All right. Anything else for your game of week?
No.
All right. Loki, how was your game of week?
It was just basically Skyrim. I played a little bit of Pokemon Go, just to, you know, I don't know, for some reason, kill time, because I'm in my car and driving relatively slow through an area that's full of Pokestops.
You had to get a party Pikachu.
I had to get a party Pikachu, but they don't have party Pikachus, because apparently Niantic's like, hey, we're going to release this, you know, Pikachu hat thing, and now we're going to make Pikachu never spawn ever again.
I had to. I finally got my two Pikachus today. And I say two because one, I have to evolve to Raichu. I just had to drive around the neighborhood and just pull over at every Pokestop I knew of in every park. And finally, at one of the parks where there's a gym, there was a party Pikachu. And then as I was giving up, I was like, all right, I'm just going to have the one. I just won't have a Raichu, whatever. As I was driving home at my home park here, it was on the radar. There was another party Pikachu. And I was like, yes. So I was able to get my Pikachus.
Party.
But then, yeah, in Skyrim, I've been just doing the quest lines. So I finished the Thieves Guild stuff, which those Radiant quests are fucking stupid. I'm so glad I'm done with that. And the fact that they had that actually based, you know, one of the achievements is based on doing like 20 of those was annoying. Because they weren't hard at all. It was just annoying. Because it's random, and so you have to do 5 in each of the holds. And once you get down to that last hold, it's like, all right, I got to quit this. Do it again. Quit it. Do it again. Quit it. Do it again. Quit it. Do it. Oh, I finally got one for the hold I need. It's just irritating. And then, of course, I also finished the Mage's College quest line as well. So I'm just going through some of that stuff. So next I'll be doing the Dark Brotherhood, and maybe I'll finally do the mainline stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, that's it.
All right. My gaming week, up until Friday, was pretty much a lot of the same old stuff I've been playing, like Final Fantasy XIV still. Overwatch, playing a little bit of that still, trying to get my loot box bonuses, forcing myself to play Capture the Flag mode, even though I really don't like it. But I did it once on PlayStation 4 and once on PC to get my extra loot boxes. So I kind of found that if I do Lucio and Capture the Flag, I don't feel so freaking useless because I'm healing. I'm decent enough with Lucio. I just can't really screw around with characters that are just like fun to play right now. Like, I like playing Sombra for fun. I'm not really good with her. Same thing with Anna. I like playing Anna for fun, even though I'm not really good with her. But like Lucio, the nice thing is the healing thing is more like an aura, so you don't really have to think. So he's kind of a little easier to play for that. So I feel like I'm more effective playing with Lucio. So, but then the other character I find that I'm getting better and better with, who I really didn't like at first, but now as I'm playing with her more, I'm really getting to like her, is Mei, because I keep getting her in Mystery Heroes, and I can actually stay alive as Mei for a little while, just being the covert Mei that everybody freaking hates, coming up behind people, freeze, and then
I'm gonna cosplay.
Ice-sickling them.
I'm going to cosplay her.
You
serious?
Should.
I'm going to cosplay her.
It's a cute outfit.
In the winter.
In the winter, yes. So that was that. And then, of course, Friday, Nintendo Switch. So I've been playing this weekend just a little bit of Fast Racing Remix. I just jumped into that just a little bit. Probably not enough to really talk about impressions, except for, yes, it's fast. And it looks very nice. I can tell it's a little better than the Wii U one, even though not like a huge difference, but, you know, enough. But then been spending a lot of time this weekend with Zelda Breath of the Wild, which, you know, it really is a pretty tremendous game. I mean, it's just the scope of the game is gigantic. Like, you just don't even really believe it at first because you start in this one little area and you're like, oh, okay, this is like going to be the world that I'm playing in right here. And then you realize, oh no, that's just one little blip on the giant map. It's like, oh shit. The interesting thing about Breath of the Wild that I'm finding is the whole, like, how there's more than one way to solve a puzzle type of thing. That's very, very interesting. And I know there's a lot that's inspired by Zelda 1, because you might remember from the original Zelda, the original Zelda didn't handhold you a whole lot. You kind of had to go find level 1. Obviously, level 1's easy. You had to go find level 2.
You could play them out of order.
Yeah, you could, well...
Mostly.
Well,
there were a few you could play out of order.
There were a couple you could play out of order. Like, usually you would, like, you have to get the raft to go to the next level. Yeah. And then you there's some like that, but there are a few. Like, I would think the first three, you don't need anything. Maybe bomb. No, you need bombs to beat some of the bosses. But anyway, like...
You can, though, go through the
whole
game.
There are some you can flip.
Without the sword until you get to the last level.
Yes. And there are different ways to exploit it and so forth. So, you know, and how did we... Especially in the second quest of Zelda, where it's like, you had to burn the fucking right tree or bomb just the right rock to find levels. Like, you had to really talk to people and compare notes to figure these things out. And I see a lot of this in... this Zelda game as well, except there might not necessarily be just one way to do it. Like, I was talking a little bit about this on Bobby's show. One way to survive the cold might be to cook a meal. That's how I did it. Or you can find an item. That's how Shane did it when we were comparing notes talking on the phone.
Might be to skin an enemy and wear his skin and his coat.
You have to cook their teeth into an elixir or something. There's different ways to solve the problem, which kind of throws you off at first, because sometimes we're used to video games being so linear that there's only one way, one solution to the problem. But Zelda is really not like that. And even Zelda, once you complete the beginning area, the little, I guess, tutorial area, for lack of a better term, once you beat that little area, you can go straight to the castle and try to beat the game. It's probably not going to go well for you, but theoretically, you're supposed to be able to go to the castle and do what you need to do. I don't know if it would really be possible without ultimate precision, but that's going to be the real fun to watch speedrunners do later on. So anyway, yeah, there's more than one way to do things, and so yeah, you really just kind of sit back and just enjoy the ride and just exploring these different areas. And there's that very Skyrim element to it, where it's like, in Skyrim, it's, oh, there's this side dungeon, what's going to be in here? Well, now it's, oh, there's this shrine, what's going to be over in here? And, oh, I can chop down this tree or pick these plants, or what can I cook? What do you mean nobody's going to tell me what to cook? Like, I just have to figure it out. If I mix these ingredients together, I'm going to get this, or I compare notes with friends, or I go online. That's part of the Breath of the Wild experience. But I think it is truly an amazing accomplishment of a game. Probably going to be the game of the year. I should have put that in the time capsule. So is Zelda game of the year? Because it probably already is. And the interesting thing to me is that, honestly, I think probably the way I would describe Zelda Breath of the Wild is it's probably the best video game of the last generation. Since it is a Wii U game, after all, it's the best video game of the last generation. That's probably where this game's going to end up. So it's an interesting way to kick off the Switch. But yeah, I mean, it's a stellar game. And I don't even think you need to be a huge Zelda fan to be into it, because it doesn't really play a lot like the other Zeldas to me. I've always been a little with 3D Zeldas. Like, I didn't get into Ocarina of Time the way everybody did. I know that's like sacrilege in some circles, but I didn't get into that at
the
time.
Yeah, the only one I've ever gotten into was Wind Waker.
I liked Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess on the Wii. I don't know if that was just the novelty of the Wii or all that, but that Twilight Princess kind of held my attention for a while for the 3D Zeldas, and I really enjoyed that when it came out. But yeah. Let's see. Looking in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Dark Tetsuya says, the reviews I've seen, it's getting 9s and 10s all over the place. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it deserves it. Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, speedrunners have a really weird order of doing the dungeons. Like, if I recall correctly, they start with level 3, probably, in the original Zelda? Probably. They probably do. Come on, Nolgus in chat says, I wish I could find, like, 20 arrows at a time instead of just 5. There are places you can buy arrows.
So, my question is, because this looked absolutely annoying when I saw them talking about it, is the weapon durability, is that fucking annoying?
Yes. I don't have a nice way to say it. Yes, it's very annoying.
Did you get the lightsaber yet?
No.
It's not the lightsaber. It's called like the Guardian Sword.
Oh, yes. That I had it for like
5 minutes, seconds,
and then
right?
It broke, yeah.
Or the eightfold sword.
Yeah.
That one was awesome, and it broke like 5 seconds later.
The durability on the weapons is not so hot, and I don't know if there's a... Because, I got to watch my spoiler, so I'm going to really try to speak in vague terms. One of the other complaints I had in the beginning of the game was you can't even hold more than like 4 shields. And with as fast as all these things break, what the F am I going to do? Like, this is crazy talk. Well, it turns out there are ways to work with that later on. So I'm hoping the weapon thing is the same thing. I could swear somebody was saying something on Twitter about that there is either you buy them or there's like a blacksmith who helps you make stronger ones. So maybe some of those issues will be resolved later on. I just haven't found the answer to that yet. And it is annoying.
They should get that out of the game in the first place because weapon durability is just an artificial way to inflate the length of the game.
Well, yes and no. I would say yes to that if the game didn't hand out new weapons like candy. Like, the monsters will drop weapons, and you can pick that weapon up and beat the shit out of them with that weapon, and that's that.
Or in some cases, with their own arm.
And, yes, in some cases, with their own arm. And that also, by the way, that whole thing is really part of what makes this Zelda game quite tremendous, is that, like, the detail that goes into that. Like, when you go, and if you actually, like, pick up a weapon that a monster was using, they'll actually point and go, "What are you doing?" Like that whole type of thing. They go,
or
like,
scream at you.
They scream at you. Like, they make
this
reaction.
That's when you throw it straight into their eye.
Exactly. And that's when you throw it straight into their eye, or you throw a bomb at them or something like that. And just, yeah. Like, the detail on the monsters and the way they kind of react to different situations, like, you could kind of watch them for a while, and it's pretty neat, like, the level of detail that goes into that. So, Bonds 006 says, so it's like Borderlands Zelda version. That's not
some Assassin's Creed.
It's not too far off.
It's that Borderlands is smart and didn't have weapon durability, so they win.
Come on, Nogus says, there's such a limited inventory, though. It's just weird having to drop something to pick something else up. Yeah, it is a little weird. At least the materials don't seem to be limited on inventory. So I can pick up all the apples and plants and all that crap to my heart's content. It really just seems to be the weapons and shields and that type of stuff. So. But I'm enjoying it so far, and I definitely want to play more of it. That will probably fill my gaming time. Although, I don't know, with Blaster Master Zero next week, I'm really looking forward to that, and I really hope that game doesn't let me down. But then there's Mass Effect in 3 weeks, so we'll see. Anyway, all right, that was my gaming week. Let's get to some housekeeping. Visit on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. I don't think we have any shows scheduled off for a bit. We'll still be here over the next few weeks. I can't think of it. There's no expos I can think of that we're doing that I'm going to be gone all weekend, except for the SAC Indie Arcade is starting to sneak up on us. That's April 8th, so that's like a month away at this point. Wow.
Yeah. And now I'm working on Saturdays.
Oh, no. You're not going to be able to do it with us. Oh, shit. I didn't even think of that.
Not unless I can come up, figure something out. But
all right.
Yeah.
Well, at least Loki and I will be. Oh, I hope you're there, or we're gonna have a real problem.
I got to get away from the kids. Yes, right. I'll be there.
Well, the only two Saturdays that I were able to get off were to go see drag queens. Well, I'm seeing Bianca Del Rio, and I'm going to the thing that they canceled in December. Or because of all the weather.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully, Dark Soccer can make it. But if not, it's April 8th is the Indie Arcade, and Loki and I will be there for sure. Hopefully, Dark Soccer, or we'll have to get a stand-in for that day.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting from the event over in West Sacramento. So we had a lot of fun doing that the past couple of years. So I'm really looking forward to this year as well. So look forward to that. But otherwise, I'm not traveling for anything until like Dragon Con's the first thing on my agenda. I don't think I have. Oh, Mag West is supposed to be a thing too. That's technically the week before Dragon Con. But I don't have all the details on Mag West yet, so more to come on that. Let's get into some other gaming news. There's still a lot that happened this week outside of GDC and the Switch, right?
Yeah,
Loki?
There was, and I was actually kind of surprised because I was doing research on other stuff when I read this, and I was like, holy shit, this is pretty awesome. So Microsoft announced this Xbox Game Pass. It's a $9.99 a month service for Xbox One and PC that allows you to play a rotating catalog of downloadable Xbox One and backwards compatible Xbox 360 games. I didn't realize you could play the Xbox 360 games on the PC.
I didn't eat. Well, you can do the whole streaming thing from your Xbox One. I have done that. I was playing Dungeon Siege 3 that way because they were give that away
see
at one point.
How that works with some of these other ones? Yeah, but whatever. Whatever the case may be. So basically, it's a rotating a catalog of 100 titles from all different publishers: 2K, Capcom, Sega, Bandai Namco, THQ, Deep Silver. You know, blah blah blah. And some of the games they're kind of showing in their little graphic here, they have like Halo 5, Saints Row 4, Mad Max, NBA 2K16, Lego Batman 3. You know, looks like some pretty decent titles. It's going to be, you know, cycled out each month, so there'll be titles that rotate out of there. It is going to basically said it's... I don't think you need to have Xbox Live Gold, but if you do have Gold, you get to try this out before it actually launches. And then along with that too, they're going to be offering DLC a little bit cheaper if you do subscribe to this, so you'll be getting discounts off of I think also probably full purchases of games as well. But honestly, that is way better than fucking PlayStation Now, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I was about to ask what's the difference between the two, but PlayStation Now is all it's PlayStation all, 3 and older stuff, right? There's nothing newer on
it's
it, right?
Older games, and this is not streaming. This is downloading.
Yeah, okay.
Games, so you can download it and play it off your hard drive, and you don't need to be connected. In fact, I believe they said, you know, you just need to connect once a month to, you know, keep utilizing those games. I think that's fantastic. That's the perfect Netflix way to address that. Why Sony hasn't done that is beyond me. I mean, I think this is how they should treat, you know.
Well, this is going to light a fire for Sony to respond. That'll be
definitely
interesting.
They've been like kicking ass as far as backwards compatibility support, and now this service. I think that's pretty. That's a great revenue source. And hello, fucking Nintendo, dude! You have this catalog of like hundreds of virtual console games. You can't tell me you can't put out a service like this. Are you saying that your games are worth more than this shit? I mean,
to be fair, we don't know yet, because virtual console, they might. I highly doubt it. I say that as I'm holding back laughter, but they technically, Loki, we don't know. Technically, we don't know, because Virtual Console isn't out yet, and they haven't announced what the virtual console plans are on the Switch yet, specifically. So they could do a Netflix-style model still, and we don't know about it. But I know we're all kind of looking at it going, well, we all know what's going to happen, Rob. It's going to be $5 again, unless maybe you get a credit for owning it before. You can upgrade to $1, and maybe the new little thing is that it has online. I think that's what we're all anticipating. But hey, if this whole move that Microsoft is doing forces Nintendo to do a response, I kind of think Nintendo can get away with doing what they've been doing as far as virtual console goes. I'm not thrilled about it either, but I think that Nintendo can get away with it, and they will.
Of course they will.
So, and I probably aren't helping, because I'll probably buy a lot of those games, at least the ones I want to play again.
See, now this won't be something that I'll be picking up right, you know. Well, I don't have an Xbox One, so it's definitely not something I'm gonna be paying for right away, but it might be something I'd be interested in, maybe. Although then again, I do have a back catalog of over, you know, 200 game or about 200 games on the PlayStation and 500 games on Steam. Yeah, I probably should play through some of those first before I'm getting more older games. And plus, a lot of these that are showing in the rotation there were included in those, like, you know, PlayStation Plus, the Xbox Live Games of Gold and stuff like that. So I may already have those in my catalog. Like, I have NBA 2K16 on PlayStation. Not that I'm really interested in playing it, but I've got it. Saints Row 4 I bought. You know, Halo 5 would be fun.
I think where this is going to really prove itself useful is that, like, let's say you buy, like, a grandkid or a kid or whatever, like, their first Xbox One console or something. This is a great way to have, like, an instant library of games.
Exactly.
To, like, catch up on stuff. I think that's where this is going to really... And it's probably where Microsoft's being smart with it, because they want to lure more people and new people into Microsoft's, you know, library. So this is a... This is a really
right.
neat way.
And look at it this way. If you're, like, budget conscious, $10 a month is really not all that much.
It's not that bad.
That's like lunch.
No.
I mean, it's really not that bad. And, I mean, if you're not looking to play, like, the newest, greatest thing,
how much is the EA thing? Isn't the EA thing like 20?
The thing is like much more than that. I want to say it's at least like $20.
Does somebody in chat know the answer to that? How much is the EA thing?
Here, I can look it up. Because yeah, I want to say theirs is much more than that, and that's kind of...
I would assume no EA games on this service because EA wants you to use their more expensive thing for the EA games.
I don't see EA on there. I do see everybody else but EA. Good
what
riddance.
A shock.
You know what? I don't care. Honestly, not missing it.
All right. Jamie, checking in with you real quick. Do you think there's a market for this type of Netflix-style Xbox gaming thing?
I guess. I mean, Netflix itself came really popular and killed Blockbuster.
Netflix has the, even though we keep saying it's Netflix of games and stuff, mm-hmm. it's like it's the old Netflix of games because now mm-hmm. I think Netflix has enough of its own original stuff. And that's Netflix kind of knew it to their credit, kind of knew they had to go there.
That's $4.99.
The EA thing is only $4.99?
$4.99 a month.
Well, okay. Then
but $4.99 a month, one publisher versus $9.99 a month, a lot of publishers.
Okay.
So,
well. Stand corrected and apologize to EA. I thought it was a lot more money when I went in there and looked. Maybe I was looking at some type of like 3-month pricing or something. But
I'm okay with it. I mean, it'd be interesting, but I think a lot of people still like, you know, owning their thing too.
That's very
or
true.
Or $29.99 a year.
Oh, maybe that was something I was looking at. All right. Anyway, still, I don't know if I myself would buy something like this, you know, just because I'm kind of like, where what Jamie said is that some people kind of like to own it, and I feel like the games that are going to be in this are not going to be the newest stuff, which is usually going to be the stuff that I'm going to end up buying anyway.
It's kind of like, I don't know, you know, when I was back when I had like the NES and the Super NES, I was not all gung-ho about owning stuff. It was just renting it and playing it and then being done with it. I think there's a lot of games that you could just get that experience where you just burn through it. And then you're done with it. There's not a lot of replayability on them.
That's a good point. We'll see. Bonds 006 in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, they won't get money from me. I'm sorry, Ninty and Sony. $59 a year is enough for online features. Brad from PodCulture pointing out Blockbuster killed Blockbuster. And SSG100 Matt saying, I'm sure come their E3 Direct, we will know, hopefully, a lot more. So we'll see. It sounds very interesting, and I'd like to know exactly, you know, what that list of games is going to ultimately end up being when it first comes out. I don't know if there's – I'm kind of like you, Loki. I have a big enough backlog as it is. Like, I would be amazed with myself if I actually am able to take the time to beat Zelda Breath of the Wild before something else comes out.
Yeah, and I already have, like, a few EA titles. Like, I was looking the other day. I was like – maybe I should install Need for Speed on my system or Dragon Age Inquisition. I have these like games sitting in my catalog that I just haven't played.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase trunk.
All right, well, moving on. Let's get back to the Switch for a minute because there's some other things going on, maybe not just necessarily in the U.S. with the Switch. You know, we talked a little bit about the U.S.'s Switch lineup, but in other countries, the lineup is a little bit different. And on the Switch over in Japan, there's a game called Voice. I think it might be pronounced like voice or something. Voice. It's V-O-E-Z is the game. It's a rhythm music game. So right up our alley here at OLR. There's 116 songs in this game, and it's in Japan with the console's launch. But here's what's interesting about the game. You can't play it in TV mode. The game is only for tablet mode. The reason why? Because it's a touchscreen music game. And when you're on the TV, there's no touchscreen. There's no more infrared sensor bar or whatever, so you can't even really use motion controllers like a pseudo mouse or something like that to emulate touchscreen controls.
Thank God, that'd be terrible.
I know, right? So that's gone. So interesting that there are going to be games available on Switch that will only be in the tablet mode. And you do see this, like even if you're browsing through the eShop, there's little icons that show you in what modes the game is playable. And one of them is the dock with the controller. One of them is just the two Joy-Cons disconnected with the screen. And then the other is with the Joy-Cons attached to the screen. So there's different icons that show up. And pretty much everything out that's in the U.S. market supports all of them. So you don't even really notice it. Maybe if you own 1-2 Switch, there's some mini games that will give you a sense of this, how not everything can be done in every configuration. But it is interesting that here we have a launch title nonetheless that won't play in one of the configurations. So it probably won't be the last of the Switch titles to require the touchpad. Kind of interesting. But yeah, I don't know, again, how many games in the future are going to plan to do this, but we could see a few. So I have not seen a lot of this game, but since it is a music game, I'm already interested a little bit. I do know it has a TBD date for the US, but if you really wanted to get this game, again, because the Nintendo Switch is region free, you can just make an account. You just make a second account on your system and set it to Japan or Europe if you want to check out their store. Well, obviously, you have to pick a country, but you know, set it to Germany or you know, something like that. And then you can go into their store and get their demos and their games and what have you. And apparently, it's like really easy to do. I've even seen people on my friends list that have stuff from the arcade archives, the Neo Geo stuff. That's out in Japan. That's not out here. I don't know if it was Wild Arms or something. I don't know what it was.
And does that stuff like integrate with all your other games on like your little home screen, or is that going to be different based on which account you're logged
into? No. Then once you go back to your US account, the game shows up there, and it shows up in your like the person I'm thinking of is Captain Spike from Game Buoy.
Uh-huh.
If I go into his profile, you can see that he has the ACA Neo Geo stuff right in there with Zelda, 1-2 Switch,
that's
whatever
good.
Else
yeah,
he's playing.
Yeah, that's like PlayStation, I think. Did that yeah. or something. Someone did it. Yeah, I think it was PlayStation.
Yeah. So the region free is working very well, which does kind of beg the question, so why are we waiting so long to get Voice here in the U.S.?
Does that like, have English language support on it?
Apparently it you don't need to really understand Japan. It's, oh, yeah, the game does have English language support, apparently. So there's really, yeah, I know, right? Could it be a music license thing? I don't know if these 116 songs, if any of them are like, you know, Britney Spears type of thing. So there's music. I can't imagine. This sounds like a smaller indie title.
It would take that long to, you know, shore up licensing in other countries, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, interesting. Let's see. Brad from Pod Culture says, I'm calling it. By the time Switch 2 arrives, the console and the handheld will be one biz. No more Game Boy / DS. You're going to have to wait for the next time capsule next year, Brad. All right. Anyhow, we'll keep you up to date. I'm not really going to go and make a Japanese account just to get this game because there's plenty else to play right now. But I will be curious to check it out when it does come out in the U.S., Meanwhile, Dark Sakura, another game we're looking forward to. At least you and I are, even if everybody else
yes.
isn't.
Some softcore space porn. Okay, well, it's just Mass Effect Andromeda. I mean, but we knew that there was going to be alien shipping going on, right? So there was a post by Aaron Flynn regarding the... rating for Mass Effect Andromeda, and there was the note that said, remember, we lost the partial nudity rating and got full nudity. So basically, he's just going back and forth with the fans and pretty much responded, yes, it's totally softcore space porn. Could be a joke.
So that means
we could get alien dick.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be dick or bush or anything. I think it's going to be dad ass.
We have alien twat.
Like we had in, well, like in Dragon Age with Dorian, right? Was Dorian the only one that had booty?
No.
But like you totally saw ass. There was ass.
Well, you did actually in the first Mass Effect.
Was there ass in the first Mass Effect?
For the lady romance.
I never did the lady romance.
You got Shepard's butt or Liara's butt, depending on who you were going with.
Liara putting the ass in Mass Effect.
I actually did, like, on my little LOL effect thing, I did 3 cheers for Shepard's butt and posted Shepard's butt. So, yeah. But there was also, apparently some really steamy, steamy dialogue. And one that children shouldn't play under a certain age. It's going to be, the rating is going to be a little bit more on the adult level. And it's going to be giving into what fans want, which is alien shipping.
Hooray! I can't wait. Loki, alien fucking isn't going to get you over to the Mass Effect franchise?
It's a gimmick. I mean, I don't know. Fucking on a unicorn might get me to play Witcher 3, but it's just, at the end of the day, it's just a gimmick. I mean, it's just, I don't know. If the game's good, maybe. I didn't play any of the other ones, and I just don't really feel the compulsion to play. there's enough porn on the internet, okay? I mean, I don't need to play a game strictly for the softcore pornography.
This is
which...
payoff porn.
I'm just going to say, remember, the very first time I played Mass Effect, I wrote it off, and I was like, I'm not into this. What is this? And it wasn't until years later when Shane sat me down and said, no, you have to watch this, and made me watch on YouTube the Caden Shepard scene in Mass Effect 3. I was like, I must play this game. I must play this entire game. I must lose 120 hours of my life to this franchise by playing it start to finish. And worth it. Thank you very much. All right. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, I want Justin Trudeau to be a playable character in Mass Effect. The young Justin Trudeau that's been making the rounds on
right
on Twitter this week.
Well, I knew he had to have been pretty when he was young, because he's pretty now.
I was going to say, not that he's bad looking
and
now.
And he can plank.
Yeah.
That means he's got core strength, and that's important.
All right, moving on. Loki, something that's not porn.
So Twitch is going to start selling games as well. Basically, what's going to happen is if you're playing a game, you can have it where... And, you know, a developer can enable their game to be sold on Twitch. So, like, say you see someone playing Overwatch, you can purchase Overwatch. Developers are going to get 70% of the revenue. Streamers will get 5% of that. And then companies, I guess Ubisoft and Telltale have already signed up. They're saying, though, the games bought on Twitch can be played through the Twitch launcher through the developer / publisher's existing services, such as Uplay. Boo! Uplay. Boo. That's not a positive. Nobody wants to play through Uplay. Ever. Is Steam an option? Because, like, boo, why the fuck would I... I mean, aside to give money to the streamer, which is just throw them, like, a donation or something if you're going to do that, but fuck that. I am not playing through Uplay for anything. Why don't buy Ubisoft games?
Here's the other question I have about all that, because when I was first reading about it, it was only partnered streamers get that 5% kickback. I don't know if they went back and changed it, because I was like...
Yeah, it is only partnered streamers.
So, that's kind of a dick move.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of smaller streamers who aren't partnered. Why do suddenly they lose out on this? I don't understand that
it's
difference.
To drive that whole partnership thing. Honestly, you know what? 5% revenue from something, it's... You know what?
It's going to take a while. I understand. Do the YouTube thing where it's... Well, don't totally do the YouTube thing, because YouTube has its own issues. But the YouTube thing is what? You don't get a check until you actually make $100 in revenue type of thing. Do that sort of thing for the smaller people then, if they're worried about... that, like, there's going to be streamers that just, like, don't ever make it. But it just seems silly to
I don't know. You know, it's Ubisoft and Telltale Games. Do you really need to purchase that through Twitch? Have you not heard of, like, Telltale Games or Ubisoft Games? Just fucking buy them through the respective platforms. I mean, I don't know. What's the point?
Do I still get my Prime discount if I buy the games this way? Probably not, because the Prime discount's only when it's pre-orders, huh? Does it work? No, it does work for games that are already out, right? I can't even remember. It's been so long since I bought a game after it was already out, but I think when I bought World of Final Fantasy.
It's silly. I mean, like, why would I, like, if I was going to buy a Telltale game through, like, let's just say Twitch, okay, I'm going to buy it through Twitch, I'd just go buy it through Amazon if I was really going to do that, since it's the same service anyways. At least then I'd probably get a Steam code.
But don't you want to support your favorite streamer?
You know what? There's a lot of ways to support my favorite streamer if I was going to do that. And fucking this is not needed, is what it is. It's not really needed, because if I wanted to support them, what, 5% of a $20 game? I mean, what is that, like a buck?
Yeah.
Throw them a dollar if you really want to do that. Or throw them, you can, and plus if you donated or subscribed to their channel or something, you get extra emoticons or whatever shit that they incentivize people with. I mean, I think that's more worthwhile than this nonsense where I have to play it through Uplay and I don't get a Steam code or some shit like that. Fuck that. No, I don't think so.
I've been trying to do more and more streaming lately and build up my presence over on Twitch. Cheap plug, Rob Roberts. I don't really do the whole donations thing, because I'm still kind of weirded out by the whole begging for money thing. For me, you do what works for you on your streams, and the charity streams, of course, obviously, I think those are great and so forth. I still have this weird area to, like, do I want to make money off this? How do I do it feeling like I'm giving my viewers what they're paying for, type of thing? long story short, if you want to support me, send me food. Or, I love food. Send me cookies. Send me I'll take Mountain Dew and Doritos. Fuck. I will just send me food.
Or like in the case of this, like where let's say
Girl Scout cookies are in season, Loki. You could the Samoas or whatever they call them now, but there'll always be Samoas. Send me lots of Samoas.
Or just like put yourself like get a partner link for Amazon and just fucking link that shit in your channel instead. And you get probably more revenue from that stuff. I mean, why would you do this? I don't know. It's just the only way it makes sense to me is if it's just automatic. Like it's like a thing that you can just tick a box or something like that. And then when you play those games that it just happens to do that. But honestly, with the games that are streamed through Twitch, I don't think any of these are at the top or even anywhere near at the top of the list. Maybe with the new Ghost Recon game or something like that, but that's kind of a stretch for the rest of those.
Let's see. Some folks in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. JD says Girl Scout cookies just ended last week. Why you gotta go and ruin everything, JD? Why you gotta go? You gotta just take a big fat crap on this show. No, I'm just kidding. Aren't they still trying? I know they're still trying to unload those cookies, though. I've been seeing the statuses on Facebook. Like, who wants to buy these cookies? Let's see. Brad from Pop Culture suggests Stroop Waffle. Oh, now I like that idea, the Stroop Waffle. Why not? I could do a fund on Twitch to raise alcohol money. That's like it's like that honest. It's that quote unquote honest beggar that you see that says, you know, I just want to buy booze. You know, I'm gonna give that guy a dollar because you know what, he's honest about what he's going for. So maybe that's what I need to do on Twitch, just beg for alcohol money. Come on, Noel Gus suggests that I'd send Sky some socks. Hey, you know what? Socks are awesome, especially like those the designer cute socks that you get. Like they have sock stores at the mall now.
I got the socks that I'm wearing right now are these weird, like my mother-in-law, they went to Monterey and they brought me back socks for some reason. I'm like, what? Socks? I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you. That's nice. But those socks are fucking comfortable. Like,
right?
I swear. Right? Like, I wear them all the time. They're fucking warm.
Those Donkey Kong socks from Vans are really cute.
Like, yeah. It's just like, they're not anything special, but man, they are fucking comfortable.
And why stop at socks? Why not underwear too? I mean, I'm not going to be able to show that off on Twitch because that's a violation of the terms of service. And let's both be thankful for that. But you and I will know a little secret. I'm gaming very comfortably this week. All right. I took it to an awkward place. Sorry. Let's go to news about Overwatch, a game that a lot of people are playing on Twitch. Are they going to be able to sell Overwatch on Twitch?
Depends on Blizzard.
I think eventually they'll
Blizzard's
tie it
probably be like, fuck you guys. We don't need you. Overwatch sells itself.
Blizzard has revealed its latest character. And as many people thought, the 11-year-old girl that builds robots that they introduced last week, Effie, she is not the new hero, but she built the robot. Who is the hero? The new hero is Orisa. Orisa, not Doomfist. A lot of people said, oh, maybe Effie like did something where she was creating something to help Doomfist or whatever. But no, it's actually the opposite. Orisa was created to try to, I guess, stop Doomfist because Orisa was attacked by Doomfist. And so that's kind of how she fits into the story. I actually did play a little bit with Orisa on the test realm, and I'm enjoying her as a character. She almost feels a little overpowered to me, but I think all new characters do at first. I was getting into a Twitter discussion about it, and I was like, man, her barrier is like really strong. But then one of my friends was like, how easy would it be as Junkrat to just fire bombs right over the barrier? Or Pharah? That barrier ain't going to do shit to a Pharah. I was like, oh yeah, these are good points. So, you know, people will be kind of thinking of the different counters to Orisa. But Orisa's still fun to play and I think will be one of the more fun tank characters to play. So that's pretty cool. Bastion just got a lot of changes too in the most recent update in Overwatch. Bastion, in fact, may be too powerful. some people complaining and bitching and moaning on the forums, because that's what people do. The Bastion is almost too powerful, and you see Bastion in almost every game at this point. There was actually one of the directors, Jeff Kaplan from Overwatch, actually went on to the Battle.net forum to kind of talk about what they were going to do with this. He actually said, over the past few nights I've played with and against Bastion, my perception is that he's a little too powerful right now. In particular, in one match I was playing Bastion and the enemy Tracer was trying to hunt me down. The Tracer player was clearly a better player than I am, a very skilled individual. I relied heavily on my self heal and the Tracer could not finish me off, but I was able to kill Tracer in recon mode almost through attrition. That part felt wrong to me. So interesting that the director gets in there, plays the game, and even recognizes, even though he's the director, there's people at the game better than he is, and that, yeah, he should have lost that particular round. So I think they did make a small Bastion nerf in the most recent like micro patch they just rolled out in the past couple days, and they may do some more fine tuning with Bastion. But I mean, the biggest thing they did is that Bastion's self heal you can use while moving now, and like you can pretty much like bring yourself back up to full health as you're moving along the map. So it's pretty crazy what he can do. So I think they need to find like the right medium for that. But that's what's going on in Overwatch. So all right, moving on. Dark Sakura.
Well, something that I think would make first of all, number one, it's making me happy, and it would also make other fans of the series very happy, is Danganronpa news, which you haven't played any of them yet, have you?
No, I have not.
I
hear you talk about them all the time, but I haven't played them.
I got Shane in on it because he was wanting something to fill the Phoenix Wright itch, and so Danganronpa was it. Anyway, Danganronpa V3 is going to be available on PC. They've confirmed. Spike Chunsoft has confirmed. So that means that it will be out on September 26th for that PS4 and Vita. And Spike Chunsoft itself is going to be doing the publishing for PC instead of NIS America, who's doing it for the Sony platforms. The other games were ported by Abstraction Games, who did some pretty good stuff. So I'm really excited because I kind of didn't want to play it on something with a controller. I much prefer playing the Danganronpa series on my computer, because then it's easier to pause. I can walk away from it. I don't hurt my hands so much. So for me, this is really good news. And then it's also easier, of course, to screenshot. So Danganronpa.
One of those series I'll get into on a rainy day at some point.
You should.
So much stuff to play.
There's better stuff to play.
All right. Moving on. Just a couple more stories for you guys. Then the classic game of the week. Oh, and the classic game this week's a pretty good one. I mean, I could say that every week, but let's be real. She picks some real stinkers sometimes. And
purpose.
This one is a stinker, but it's a good one. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Loki.
All right, so GDC, they announced the new Xbox Live Creators Program. What's kind of different than the current ID at Xbox program that they have right now is they're lowering the barrier of entry. So right now, and I think this is kind of what they hinted at before, where any Xbox to be used as a dev kit, anyone with an Xbox One in conjunction with different game engines like Construct 2, Monogame, and Unity you can develop a game for it and the Windows 10 store with Xbox Live integration. And they also, with that, they're going to have their own sections in both of those stores. Microsoft does not have to provide concept approval for the game in order to appear on the store.
Oh.
Or, yeah. So, yeah, real easy barrier to entry there.
So are we kind of getting back to the indie game thing then? That's what this is starting to sound like it. Yeah. But how do they know like what's good? Because they used to have like the peer review process, right? To kind of filter out some of the crap.
I don't know if they're going to continue to have that. I would imagine that maybe they have some sort of review program in there.
Huh.
But yeah, you can already sign up for it. Developer or Microsoft.com. And was it they have it under Xbox Live Creators Program.
Is YYR out there? Because I need to know if this means we're getting Bungie Ferret tossing on Xbox One. That's what the minute I heard about this and the fact that, oh, it's Xbox One's answer to the indie games thing. That was the first question.
Some of the other differences that are on this between the two different programs, because I'm not sure if they're going to keep both programs on there as well.
Well, indie games is gone, or they were
right. I know the indie games is gone, but they had ID at Xbox, so there's two different things right now. So, yeah, I guess you can apply for either one. So the creators program, for example, the presence on the storefront is a little bit more basic. The multiplayer is not supported, and achievements are not supported.
That was all in line with indie games, if I remember right.
So
you could do like leaderboards on indie games, maybe, but that was about it.
They had multiplayer though. But wait, we heard Xbox Live integration, so that doesn't really seem to jive with that.
I think it's something like you can do leaderboards, but you can't do like full on freaking like multiplayer
at
the same time.
Multiplayer though in indie games, because I remember they had those really shitty Minecraft clones that you could do multiplayer in.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's a neat idea. I'd be willing to check it out whenever I get an Xbox One.
Okay, Bobby's helping out with some of the answers to the question I have about YYR. Bobby Blackwell says he'd have to convert Bungie Ferret Tossing to Unity and make it a universal Windows app. Of course, I forgot about that. Of course, XNA was a whole other language that you could make, so that would be a challenge in itself. I get that. Bobby continues, you're creating universal Windows program apps with the Xbox One Creators Club, not actual Xbox One games, and XNA isn't supported. You could do leaderboards only, but not achievements, not sure about online play. So, okay, that makes a little more sense. So this is where basically – but you could put – so hypothetically, you could put Time to Car on Xbox One if you ever finished the fucking thing because you did it in Unity.
Yeah, I could. I wouldn't want to. But,
but you could.
I could.
You could.
Okay. Or I could make just something else for it. I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be very curious, especially now that we're going to be meeting with a ton of indie gamers in a month's time. I'm going to be very – I want to pull some of these folks to talk about, like, what is this going to mean for them? And what they're doing. I'm very curious to hear that. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what continues to develop with this and what indie folks we know that might take advantage of it. One other game that a lot of folks are still playing and getting ready for its sequel, which, you know, we know one's happening. We just don't know when exactly. But that's Destiny. So Destiny is a game that many people are still playing online and having a good time with. And some folks were ready for Destiny 2 to come out so they could take all that character and all the progress they've built and move it into Destiny 2. Except Bungie said this week, it's not going to work that way, actually. The characters that you made in Destiny 1 will be reset going into the new game. So everything you've earned in Destiny, like your money, your points, and all that stuff, not going to happen. However, if you have, I guess, like cool outfits and things like that, you can bring those over to Destiny 2. Some of that stuff will come over, like as far as like the more look type of things. But your powers, your possessions, Eververse related items and currency will be stuck in the first game. That's it. Personalizations, if you got past level 20 and did the Black Garden story mission, that will carry over. Some people kind of see that as a little harsh reboot, but at the same time, I kind of look at this and go, it is a separate game, though. If Destiny 2 is supposed to be a separate game, they want everybody to start over. That's part of the reason I haven't really got back into Destiny myself, is because I played it in the very beginning, and, you know, it was fun, but then I didn't really have time for all these expansions and things like that, and now it's like, well, I don't really want to get back into it because everybody else is, like, so far along. So Destiny 2 is going to kind of hit the reset button on that a little bit, I think. I guess it's like EverQuest 1 and EverQuest 2, right? Your characters didn't really carry over there either. But that ended up being a bad thing for EverQuest 2 because a lot of folks wanted to stay behind and play EverQuest 1. You could look at Final Fantasy 11 and 14 kind of the same way. Not everybody, you know, the two games don't really have anything in common. And there's some people, not a ton, but some people who stayed behind and would rather play the older game. But I don't know. Destiny is also much different than your other traditional MMOs. I don't know if Destiny is going to have that same problem that those other games I mentioned had, because it's still going to be a very similar type of game. So, anyway. Kaijudo does bring up an interesting counterpoint, though, going, didn't they sell Destiny as this ongoing story that you live in? Oh, yeah, it was that whole 10-year plan for Destiny. Remember that? Well, yep. It doesn't sound like it worked out so well.
kind of like the PlayStation 4's 10-year life cycle.
Well, I mean,
it sort of worked out. I mean, if we want to not consider this new console a new console,
here's the thing to a Destiny is that they would probably tell you the Destiny 2 is part of that life cycle, and there are some things you're carrying over. You're carrying the essence of your...
Essence,
Loki, the essence, the O'Day character is coming over from the original Destiny. That's what you get. All right. You know what? We need to take a trip down memory lane, back to simpler times. When there was no expectation of this online system and things that carried over. You played a game, you beat it, and then you threw it in the trash. Just kidding, you didn't do that. You put it in the gaming vault, where Dark Sakura walks into every week to find a game that she thinks, hey, look, brats.
Yeah.
Put down your Switch. Why don't you switch? I'll switch you.
Go pick your own Switch.
And here it is, the classic game of the week. Dark Sakura, what is the classic game that the kids should be playing this week?
Night Trap.
Oh, God. Maybe kids actually shouldn't be playing this game.
No, they shouldn't be playing it. Actually, it's really not that great of a game. But it's iconic, I will say.
Yes, it is a legendary video game, if nothing else.
Starring the late Dana Plato.
R.I.P.
Who had a shithole of a life after Different Strokes, but still. It is an interactive movie game that was done by Digital Pictures for the Sega CD. And it came out in North America on October 15th, 1992. It had ports for the Sega 32X, the 3DO, MS-DOS, and Mac OS. It was basically 90 minutes of full motion video that basically the advent of the CD-ROM pretty much is what made a game like this possible. So basically, the plot of the game is that these young women of various states of dress are the targets of these things called augurs, who are vampiric kind of beings who want to steal their blood. And so you have to switch between these different hidden cameras and activate traps to catch them to save the women. Now, the thing that makes this game notable, even though it's not that great of a game, is that it was really a source of controversy, because in 1993, people had an even bigger stick up their ass, and it was really mature, really mature. There was like a bathroom scene where the girl's wearing a towel and she screams for like 7 minutes with a pipe in her throat. Well, the little auger thing. They like gross. This hook that goes around your throat and it looks like it's got a pump attached to it.
Okay, gross, gross, gross.
Yeah, anyway. In the U.S., it was actually one of the games that contributed to the creation of the ESRB, the Entertainment Software Rating Board. In the UK, it got a 15 rating. So basically, back to Night Trap, the game itself. So you have an undercover agent whose name is Kelly, played by Dana Plato, who is has infiltrated one of these parties. And these women are staying at Mr. and Mrs. Martin's house. And they seem like a normal family. But five other girls who had stayed at this house before disappeared. So why other people are wanting to go the fuck to this house, I have no idea. And so they send in the Sega Control Attack Team. Also, SCAT. on other systems, it was changed to Special Control Attack Team. So yes, the SCAT team sends Kelly in. And you are monitoring the whole situation through hidden cameras. I don't even know how the fuck they got the hidden cameras in the house, but, you know, plot magic.
Finally, some actual people, too. Like, the whole, like, first 5 minutes of this was just watching these guys fall through trap doors and fall through curtains and things like that. But now I was like, where's the chicks in bikinis? Where's that part? And now we're finally at least seeing people, even though these are not. I was promised girls in panties pillow fighting. Where is that?
Well, I don't know.
Well, the game is called the trap 'em up genre. So you have the events that are going on in different areas of the house, and you can only view one at a time. And so you can actually see the augurs creep into the house, and you have to spot them and use traps to capture them. So they have to get to certain places, and you trigger the trap. Kind of like Dragon's Lair, I guess, a little bit, but more like more timed in certain places. So
we need a crossover between this and Five Nights at Freddy's. They've gone into
Five
the
Nights
wrong
at
house.
Scatty's. Anyway, I don't think it would be too off from Five Nights at Freddy's, just a little bit less interactive. You know, it's more scripted, I think, than this, where Five Nights at Freddy's tends to be a bit more random. But anyway, you have access codes that pop up on the screens, and the codes change different parts of the course of the game. So you have to keep the accurate code by listening to the different conversations. And so you actually have to play the game multiple times to get what these codes are. The game is real time. It cannot be rewound. And if you miss too many of the augers, the game will end. Or if certain characters are taken away, or if the host of the slumber party disconnects your access to the traps. You know, there's even like one part where like your boss in the control center cans you for sucking. He yells at you for letting all those poor, poor half-naked women die. Aw. So it was actually filmed in Culver City 3 weeks in 1987. And it was originally developed for Hasbro's Control Vision video game system that was codenamed Nemo. And it used VHS tapes instead of ROM cartridges. But Hasbro discontinued the production. And so the footage went into an archive until the founders of Digital Pictures purchased it in 1991. So they imported everything over for a CD-ROM format, put it out on the Sega CD, and then later there was the 32X 3DO and PC versions that had higher quality. There also was a Mac OS version. You had, for actors in there, you also had, apart from Dana Plato, you had Arthur Burghardt, Blake Gibbons, and Andrus Jones, which I don't know what else the fuck
I've never
were
heard
in.
Of any of those people.
I was just looking at the names of the actors. I was like, who are they? The only one I recognize is Dana Plato. So with the release, basically the mentions of Sega products were removed from the 3DO and PC and Mac versions. So they actually replaced some of the videos with the original footage that was made for the first release for the Hasbro Control Vision. Some of the other versions were also giving a higher quality video, because the Sega CD didn't really have the best resolution for video. The 3DO version had an on-screen map with the color codes for the different rooms. The PC and Mac one had a save version, a save function within the game, and a pause menu, so you could look at the house on the pause menu. It also had documentary called Dangerous Games that was about this game and the controversy around it. There was also footage, never released footage for the VHS one that is viewable on the Sega CD version by entering a button code, and the credits will read, "In memory of Stephen D. Hassenfeld." The footage is basically Hasbro executives looking at the game, the original version, scene of the crime back in 1987. In 2014, the creator of Night Trap said he wanted to re-release it with a better resolution and gameplay. There was a Kickstarter out for it. But the developer said that if it was successful, that they would have done other of the Digital Pictures title, but or making a sequel to the game. There's a mobile prototype that showed up on YouTube, but nothing else about it. The game actually sold really well, but because of the controversy over it, it only had an initial print run. It was a bestseller in the UK. However, ratings themselves were pretty, I'd say, on the low end. But it was novel that they were using live actors and that you had to play through the game multiple times to see everything. So it had great replayability. Electronic Games give them an 89% overall. But EGM, Electronic Games Monthly, gave it a really kind of mediocre review. It's kind of not so great, really. I mean, people who have reviewed it since then just really gave it a kind of snore rating. And Night Trap was voted the 12th worst video game of all time in an EGM article. And yeah, basically, it's just, you know, it wasn't all that great. But like I said, still novel for a time. And the big thing about it is the controversy. So in 1993, right before Christmas, the game was removed from shelves at Toys R Us and KB after they received complaints that were part of, as they figured out after the fact, it was a type of telephone campaign. But they still stuck to Mortal Kombat and other violent games. And so that actually led to a 1993 joint state judiciary and government affairs committee having a hearing on the video games. And so basically it was announced later that there would be a censored version. But no, the ones that were co-chairing this was Joseph Lieberman and Herbert Cole, who thought it was shameful, ultra-violent, sick, and disgusting, and encouraged an effort to trap and kill women. Like, people don't know it's a fucking video game. But it made, like, all the news everywhere. I even remember this, you know, as a teen, you know, that it was in USA Today, it was in New York Times, Washington Post, the local papers. It was all over the place. And it was also pretty much, I mean, the characters in the games, and this is actually outlined in that Dangerous Games documentary that's also in the PC version, is that the producers and the cast members said that they thought that it was for the sake of to prevent the trapping and killing of women, and that the blood draining device was intended to look unrealistic, which honestly, it looks fucking unrealistic. Like, I was like, how the fuck is that a thing? Really? But then, you know, there's no nudity in the game or no extreme violence. But people were saying, oh, no, it's really violent. I mean, they may be scantily clad, but they weren't fucking naked. You know, it's just boobs. What the hell? Everyone's got boobs.
There's worse in movies.
Men have boobs, okay? Everyone's got boobs. Anyway, there were a lot of people who just thought that it was a really sexist game. I mean, yeah, I think that it is a bit, yeah, it's sexist. I mean, it's meant to play on the whole horror movie genre with the you know, girls in pillow fights and bikinis and shit like that. But at the same time, it wasn't overt. You know, it's not like it was a snuff game, you know. At any rate, the game did get ported even after the controversy. The ports were done in 1994, and later on, the MS-DOS and Mac versions were out in 1995. They had a different cover on each of them, but all of them had pictures of Dana Plato on it, which the Sega CD one was purely illustrated. So, and that's it, Night Trap. I actually really want to see the documentary now, though, because I knew about it, but I hadn't seen it, so...
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week. But is it a classic, though? Night Trap.
Well,
no, it absolutely, it changed gaming. I mean,
it did.
It, even though it's a ridiculous freaking game, it did change gaming, for better or for worse.
And that's you know, one of the things about the classic game segment is not just to outline, oh, this game was great, and it's an instant classic, and blah, blah, blah. It's a classic like the Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
It's also... how did it contribute to gaming? And I will interspace shitty games that contributed to gaming.
Of course.
So, there you go.
Of which there's been plenty.
And this is actually even considered the same genre as Lode Runner.
Why?
Because it's a trap game.
Oh, God. That's a stretch, in my opinion. I guess puzzle games, maybe? I don't know. Anyway. Mm. All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Night Trap, starring Dana Plato. Rest in peace. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue it. We're going to finally seal this time capsule away, and then we're going to get into some rapid fire news. Your calls pretty soon here at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. When we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight, March the 5th of 2017. With episode number 678 of our show already in progress. I want to give a quick shout out to our pals over at Anime Jam Session, also here on the Voice of Geeks Network. I falsely said a couple weeks ago that they were going to be having their 300th episode because I figured, well, what comes after 299? 300. Well, I got fooled because they actually had a 299.5. And then, as Rama said when he called in the show last week, they took a week off. But episode 300 is finally happening of Anime Jam Session this Tuesday. So y'all should check it out live. Be here. All right. Are you going to check it out, Dark Sakura? You need to be there for Ranchan.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, if you can't be here live, there's always the podcast feed.
Yes.
You can always check that out. All the shows that make up the Voice Geeks Network, you can check out their podcast feeds over at VogNetwork.com and all the latest shows.
Sometimes work gets in the way, that nasty necessity.
That whole thing. Man, if only we could just ban work. All right. Before we get into rapid fire news, we need to finish the time capsules. So somebody had that idea of putting in what is it? What are we putting in here? The three games we just can't stop playing right now?
Yeah.
To see if that changes by the end of the year.
Yeah.
All right. So even though Loki's like, I don't want to fill it out, then put one.
What the fuck were we thinking?
Then put one Skyrim, two Skyrim, three Skyrim. You get this tiny piece of paper to write on, Loki.
All right.
And make sure to sign it because I don't know who's going to do what. All right. So let's see. I'm going to put number one. Obviously, it will be Final Fantasy 14 because I play.
I was
going to
see if I ever beat Danganronpa 2, which I'm still halfway through.
Number two, I'm going to put Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do play a lot of that with Alan. I want to know if Alan's still playing Overwatch 2 at that point. Now, the third one's a little harder to pick. What am I obsessed with right now? I'm not sure what I play. I mean, like, obviously, this particular weekend, I've been playing a lot of Breath of the Wild, but does that count?
Yeah.
Can I put number three, Overcome with Anticipation for Mass Effect Andromeda?
Maybe we could do a second list of what we're looking forward to this
okay,
year.
Okay, that time capsule is only so big, and we don't want that segment to be an hour.
We use little pieces of paper, all Loki. Right.
Let's see. I'm just going to put number three, Overcome with Feelings about Andromeda.
I'll just put Breath of the Wild, even though I'm not playing that
but
yet.
But you're not playing it. You're cheating.
But I will be in like a couple weeks.
All right. Overcome with Feelings about Andromeda. P.S. Was the gay sex good? Question mark. That's an important question I'll want to answer in December, right?
I just put OMG Mass Effect Andromeda in big letters. But since I'm playing through Breath of the Wild, it's sort of an afterthought.
Right. Oh, I should, even though I totally know my own handwriting, I will still sign this with my name. There. Fold it up, put it in the time capsule. Okay, what'd you put on your list, Dark Sakura?
I put World of Warcraft.
Okay. Yeah, you have been playing a lot of that lately.
I should specify that it's Legion, although they haven't announced the next thing.
They probably will at the next BlizzCon, just in time for the end of the year.
Danganronpa 2, because I haven't beaten it yet, and I'm still trying to. And then Breath of the Wild, because Dan and I are doing it together. And then in big letters, I did OMG Mass Effect Andromeda.
Okay, so you actually did put three games. Now, what did you put, Loki?
Skyrim Remastered, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, and Skyrim Remastered.
Okay, okay, good enough. All right, I accept that answer.
I didn't put my name on there, but I mean,
fine.
I don't
need
it right
now. We'll deal with it.
If it's Skyrim, we know it's you.
If it's Skyrim, we know it's you.
Or Alan snuck one in there.
All right, so here we go. Let's make the seal it away.
Tape it.
Noises.
Tape
You're
it.
Sealing it away. I don't want to get tape.
Tape it.
Fine, okay. And you know what's funny is as I'm talking this, I just realized we have a whole like Tootsie Roll thing that we're holding the pens in, but this works great.
But that one doesn't have a lid.
It doesn't have a lid. All right.
It also doesn't have any Tootsie Rolls in it.
Where are we? Oh, yeah. Where are we going to put candy?
We were
going to
put a Tootsie
here?
Roll in there. And some of my hair to see what color it is.
Yeah.
I sealed it away, so.
There's a hole on
the
top.
It's done. All right. There is. All right. So where am I going to put this now? I guess I'll just put it here.
Yep.
There. It'll sit to be opened December 2017.
We should cover it with like stickers like randomly.
All right. There it is. Come on, No Gus, suggests lick it shut.
No. We still haven't decided if I'm licking Rob's cartridges yet.
Apparently, I saw a picture of someone's dog that did chew up one of those cartridges, so that stuff doesn't really seem to stop dogs.
Yeah, but dogs also have weird senses of taste.
It doesn't affect pets.
Dogs eat their own shit, okay?
Well, which is why he was chewing on 1-2 Switch, so it is kind of the equivalent of eating shit, so that makes sense.
As 2100 Matt in chat says, put it up on a shelf that is away from Sanrio. A, Sanrio's 17. She doesn't do that shit anymore. But B, we did. I did put it up on a shelf. We in our studio here, we have an elevated television that we use for the PlayStation 3 because we actually use TuneIn to listen to Bobby Blackwolf here in studio before the show goes live.
It almost makes me think if you painted that green, it would sort of look like a cactar.
It does. Like with the little arms sticking out, it would look like a cactar if you painted it green.
I'm going to put it up on my Facebook fan page. Jamie Summers on Facebook.
You have a Facebook fan page?
I do.
All right.
Why wouldn't I?
You have fans?
You have fans? I don't have fans.
Y'all need fan pages. You don't get fans without a fan page.
I'm sorry. My ego's not that big.
I have a Twitch. You can follow me. You can stroke my ego on Twitch.
I did it because I was doing other shit, too.
That's fair. I'm just giving you crap.
Well, you always give me crap. Stop crapping.
All right.
Wait.
There we go.
You kind of need to crap. Never mind.
Let's get into some rapid fire news and hopefully some non-crappy things that happened in gaming this week. Loki.
Yes. So one of the things during GDC that was talked about was Unreal Engine. And of course, with that, they made some more updates about Fortnite. Hey, remember that game that was supposed to be coming out on Unreal Engine 4?
No.
It was supposed to be like a zombie survival game that was,
aren't they all?
You know, building your own base and stuff like that. Anyways. So, it's still coming. It's supposed to be coming out this year on PC, according to Tim Sweeney.
All right, then.
So, yeah. We'll look forward to it then. Something else that's going to be in development as well is Sleeping Dogs the Movie. So, that's that Hong Kong action, open world action game that they had. Now, it's supposed to, I guess, star... Who do they have starring in there? It's being produced by Neil H. Maurice, who did the Fast and the Furious, I Am Legend, 21 Jump Street. And it's going to star Donnie Yen, who is, you know, definitely well-known in the Hong Kong you know, movie scene. Ip Man, Rogue One, and, of course, Triple X, Return of Xander Cage. I'm down. That'd be pretty awesome. That movie, or the game, was pretty cinematic as it was, so... I don't need really an excuse to go see Hong Kong action movies.
Not everyone is excited about it. Kaijudo in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Sleeping Dogs the Movie. No. I feel like I should shake the Vader thing. every time. No. Shake, shake, shake. All right. Let's see. I don't know if it needs a movie, but okay. I mean, we could really use a good video game movie. That would be nice. At least we have some good sportsmanship in the video game world. The Switch, of course, being released on Friday, believe it or not, lent to some official comments from the PlayStation and the Xbox Twitter accounts that were very nice. The PlayStation account tweeting, "Today is a big day for Nintendo. Congrats on launch. We can't wait to play," with a little blue heart. Blue because it's PlayStation. Whereas Microsoft wrote a little tweet on their Xbox account that said, "At Nintendo, it's not every day you get to throw the Switch on a new console." So congrats, hashtag Nintendo Switch at Nintendo. They did a little animation that did like achievement unlocked. So even though they were congratulating Nintendo, they did a very Microsoft thing.
Achievement unlocked. We have achievements and you don't. Ha ha.
That would have been the classless thing to do. Microsoft does what Nintendo don't, type of thing to respond. But isn't it nice though to see these this has come a long
but
way.
What did Denny's and Arby's say? That's really what we want to know.
That's a really good point. I think Denny's tweeted one of those pictures. It's like, look left, look right, you're having an existential crisis. There's, I don't know, it's really funny. I think I retweeted it. But yes, we need to know, what did the Arby's account have to say? That's the most important.
Or was it the Sonic account? That's, you know, very
Sonic the Hedgehog? Oh, I'm pretty sure they had tweeted something, too. It's important. Also, which I thought was neat, somebody else had tweeted like a reply that said, "Love when companies congratulate each other. Makes it seem like we are all united." And Xbox replied, "It's all for the love of the games," with the thumbs up emoji. So that was nice. But also, I think the fact that it's Nintendo, and, you know, obviously Nintendo marches to the beat of their own drum. And so I think the competition is especially a little lessened there. And come on, guys, I'm sure the people that work at Sony and Microsoft probably play Nintendo. You know what? Well, I bet the guys at Sony play Xbox and the guys at Microsoft play PlayStation.
These two companies, they're not worried about Nintendo because the last couple generations, it hasn't really eaten into their profits too much. They're probably just like, good job. Good job, you know, putting out a console, you know.
The reality is too that the games industry is like a small place too. So like it's like you're okay. Look, Sony is not going to write a tweet that says "Get fucked, Nintendo."
They should though. That would be awesome.
They're not going to write that tweet because then when like you know the social media person at one of these companies wants to go get a job somewhere else, they're going to be like, "What was up with that tweet you sent to Nintendo that told them to go fuck themselves?"
If I ever become president someday,
right? That's the only time you're going to be able
that
to get away with
something,
tweeting whatever you want.
You know, as much as Trump tweets, he is really missing some get fucked in there. I mean, because that would just be, like, hilarious.
All right, look.
Hilarious in the fact that, like, oh, hey, there's you know, blue flames coming off of the fire now.
Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.fognetwork.com says, if I recall correctly, Major Nelson tweeted a picture of Breath of the Wild saying it was for research, in quotes. See? It's cute. Come on. Look, there's a lot of gamers out there like me who are sick and own everything anyway. So, you know what? It's a win. All right, let's move on to Marvel and their gaming universe, which, of course, Marvel versus Capcom Infinite is going to be a big release in that universe. There's also, though, don't forget the whole Square Enix, Crystal Dynamics Square Marvel project that's going on too,
which I'm down for because it's Marvel Cinematic Universe and I like the Marvel Cinematic
Universe. Actually, apparently Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, they have the freedom to tell their story and they want to make it an original story. It is not going to be a part of the cinematic universe. Marvel Sweet. Games' goal Deadpool? is to not force a game's development timeline to match up with any upcoming movie, TV show, or comic book. So these games are not directly tied to the universes in any way. They get to do their own thing, if that makes sense.
And with that said, I loved the Deadpool 2 teaser that was...
I haven't even seen the Deadpool movie, but to be fair, I haven't seen like any movies.
What?
I know.
Go watch the Deadpool movie. Seriously, go watch
the last
Deadpool movie
I saw in theaters was Warcraft. That was almost a year ago.
Ugh, God, okay. No.
So I was bored enough on Saturday. I mean, obviously I was playing a lot of Zelda, but you have to come up for air once in a while, right? So I actually started looking. I was looking at this brand new theater they just opened up with the whole now recliner seats is the big deal, right? And they sell booze at theaters, and this is an assigned seating thing, right? So I went onto the website, and I was like, well, I want to see this Get Out because everybody's telling me it's fucking great, and it looks good, so I'll go see it. So I was just for fun, I was going to pitch to Alan, like, let's go see Get Out. I'll go get us tickets. But then as I'm looking online, like, completely sold out for 7 o'clock. Completely sold out except for, like, two seats in the front row for 10 o'clock. And it's like, now that you can buy your seats online, all this stuff, like, these movies are sold out forever in advance. Like, you can't just walk up to the theater anymore and go, yeah, I just want to see whatever movie's coming up next. You can't really do that now. And I think the fact that all these theaters have giant recliners means there's less seats in the theater.
Yeah, they're pretty large.
So, anyway. So, no, I did not see... I haven't seen Logan. I haven't seen Deadpool. But don't take it personally, movie fans. I just haven't seen any movies. Because Alan and I also work the different schedules, so it's hard for us to go see movies together, you know? It's like when we have the time together, we have to do the really exciting things that married folks do and go grocery shopping and go pay bills. We don't have time for movies. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. More rapid fire news. Dark Sakura.
Ah, if I don't unplug my mic here, geez. So... how about some PlayStation Plus? How's that sound?
Yay.
There are going to be free offerings, including a Disc Jam and Tearaway Unfolded. Also included is Earth Defense Force 2025, Under Night Inbirth EXE, I guess? Late? Whatever the fuck that is. Severed for Vita. And Lumo for Vita with cross-buy on PS4. This goes live on the 7th, which is Tuesday. And also, Disney, stop! Stop! Disney wants to reboot Tron with Jared Leto.
Yeah, because that worked out so well when they put Jared Leto as the Joker in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, she wasn't bad as the Joker, I thought. Like,
Jared Leto's just kind of...
Everywhere?
I don't get it. It's like one of those things. But then again, I didn't see Suicide Squad. Refer to our earlier conversation. Now,
Suicide Squad wasn't bad.
So riddle me this. If Tron Legacy...
Riddle me that.
Yeah. If Tron Legacy was so bad that they can't warrant a sequel, then why are they rebooting it? Why warrant another movie then if it was
It doesn't...
Just
the whole thing... Make the fucking third Tron movie. Just make that movie. Right? Everything I've heard is that Star Wars killed Tron. When Disney got Star Wars, they didn't need Tron anymore, so they threw it away. But now it seems like somebody's thinking maybe that wasn't such a good idea, that maybe, gasp, both these movies could exist in the same place where Marvel's spitting out two or three movies a year. Surely Disney can put out two science fiction movies that, may I point out, are really fucking different. Are Tron and Star Wars that similar? I don't fucking think so.
They left it open like at the end of Legacy for like a really interesting like story. Let's just throw that out.
Now, I had heard this thing that Jared Leto was maybe supposed to be like another character in the third movie.
Which I'm totally cool with.
Fine. Cool. Although I thought they had totally set it up for Cillian Murphy? I forget how to pronounce his name. They totally said that guy that played the Scarecrow, who was awesome in that original, in that first Batman. But he was supposed to be the new villain, right? They'd set him up as the guy from the first movie's kid. So he would be the villain in the third movie. So, I mean, like, the plot was fucking there. Make that movie. Why do you need to reboot Tron? Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't seem like that would... I mean, I don't know. It just...
I'm happy if Tron can at least continue somehow. Like, I'll take a reboot over nothing, but I'm not hyped about it. Like, if they're worried that too much time has passed since Tron Legacy, they waited, like, 25 years to make Tron Legacy. So fucking what if like 7 years have gone by since Tron Legacy? Make a third Tron movie. It will be fine. And you know what? Put a ride at Disneyland. Take the ride from, so I don't have to go to China. Take the ride at Shanghai Disney and put it at California Adventure or something, because I want to go on that ride. Anyway. Tiger Claw in chat says, maybe that's what the movie's going to be called. Tron Rebooted or Tron Reboot. Oh, get it? Because it's play on computer stuff.
Maybe that's where the confusion was. Maybe the third movie is just going to be Tron Reboot.
Oh, what a mind fuck that is, if that's the case. Maybe that's just the third movie is Tron Reboot. All right, moving on. Let's travel around and look at what's in stores this week. Loki.
Although I wouldn't be too optimistic about it. So this week, not a whole lot. We've got Altair, Furious, The Alchemist of and the Mysterious Journey. It's on PC, PlayStation 4, and the Vita. LEGO Worlds out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Nier Automata on PlayStation 4. And Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's it.
All right. Let's travel over to Japan and look at what's coming out in Japan. This week, starting on the, I think the 9th is when all the games hit. Yep. Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 and 2.5 Remix. That's a pretty big deal. That's hitting the PlayStation 4 in Japan this week. I'm looking forward to the U.S. release of that for sure. Let's see. Croylier Sigma comes out in Japan this week on PlayStation 4. Let It Die gets an Uncle Prime edition in Japan this week. I'm assuming because that's a free-to-play game, there's some type of boxed version that comes with game credit or something like that. There is a green camouflage-colored controller coming out this week as well for the PlayStation 4. And Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 gets a Japanese release this week. I thought it was already out there. Maybe there's some type of boxed version over there as well. Moving on to the Nintendo 3DS, I think is pretty slow this week. Yeah, no, I mean, Nintendo's obviously been focusing on the Switch, which I'm not sure we have anything to report on the Switch this week. No, we don't. I'm not starting to see Switch releases fill in for Japan yet. That's probably going to take a little bit. And as we know, the Indies Online is kind of what's really going to try to carry Nintendo through these first few months here. So that's it for Japanese releases. How about the United Kingdom?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
I guess when a new console comes out, that kind of takes
Nothing
the attention for a
happens.
While. Nothing else happens. Tumbleweed is rolling by. All right, let's go to the mailbag. Every week, you guys email us at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. And Dark Soccer dives in the mailbag and finds an email that she thinks, hey, I'm going to read this on air. Dark Soccer, do we have email this week? I think we have one, right?
One actually came at the end of last week, so I'm just going to read it.
Sure.
It's from YYR.
Uh-huh.
It's labeled floater, and the body is, this is a crusty poop. Heart, Aaron.
That's disgusting. But I think that's because you said something about throwing poop emails in the mailbag or something. Maybe I said it. I don't know.
But
thanks.
We got another one from Fabrice from Belgium.
Hey, real quick, I just want to throw this out there. If you ever do end up coming up with a Pixel Shits 2, I think the subtitle floater would be appropriate.
It should be Pixel Shits 2 should be turds in a river.
Next email.
And you have to sink the floaters. All right.
Stop telling him how to live his life.
Hello, OLR. I wonder what is your to-go game when you want to relax. A game with no stress, something easygoing. Yours truly, Fabrice from Belgium.
Skyrim HD Remastered. Yeah, Skyrim Remastered is...
your go-to answer for everything.
It's pretty... well, it's just relaxing. It's what I do to relax because it's not really that hard.
For me, it could be the MMO, Final Fantasy 14, although that's not always a relaxing thing if I'm trying to do, like, you know, content that's, you know, newest and greatest.
It's like farming and WoW.
Yeah, there's some, like, zen things you can do. You know what's always been a very zen game to me, like, just kind of get in the mood and just, you know, do whatever? Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Is a game like that for me, actually.
Digging holes with that music.
Exactly. Yeah, I actually think I find Minecraft to be a very relaxing game. Now, granted, I don't play on super hard difficulty, but I don't play on, peaceful mode or whatever they call the...
Creative mode.
I don't really play in that mode either. I do play in the survival, but I play on like the lowest difficulty setting. So it's like there's a creeper once in a while who's going to piss me off, but it's manageable. So I like Minecraft for a game. Sometimes music games. I mean, it's been a long time since I've really been able to just pop in Beat Media 2DX and do that. But even something like Rez right now is kind of like that zen thing for me.
Animal Crossing.
Oh, is that your answer?
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of slacked off on it because I need a new game to keep up with. Mm-hmm. But I've really enjoyed, you know, just about every Animal Crossing is something just really relaxing and hanging out. It's just really easy. And then, of course, my reoccurring addiction to Bust a Move. Or Puzzle Bobble.
You know what else for me is relaxing is watching other people play video games on Twitch. Honestly. Like sometimes I just want to lie on the couch and watch somebody else play a game. So I do that too.
I have Dan for that.
There you go. See.
No, actually it's kind of stressful. I'm like, you just missed the thing. Go.
Backseat driver.
If you don't fucking crouch and shoot that goat in the head, I'm leaving. And he'll be like, promise? This is what gaming is like in my house.
Yeah, no. See, Alan does most of his gaming on computers, so I can't exactly just be like, what you doing? I will do that once in a while, but I can't really like watch him play Oblivion, which I know is what he's doing right now, because he played the shit out of Skyrim,
mm-hmm.
then he played the shit out of Morrowind, mm-hmm. and obviously what was left is, well, he played 5 and 3. When's he going to do 4? So now he's making his way through Oblivion right now with mods galore, so...
You know, though, I do have an account for Elder Scrolls Online, and I probably should play it.
Mm.
So that, you know...
I didn't care for it, but I'm willing to give it another shot. It's been a while since I tried it last.
I keep promising Tiara that I'll play more of it.
Oh, yeah, she's super into it.
Someone should be playing well with me.
Somebody should give me money to do that.
You know what? I'll do it.
No,
I'll
don't
get you
do
a
that.
Gift
don't
card.
That. Don't do that. Do.
I'm threatening it now.
No, don't. That's mean. Besides,
I will guilt trip you into wowing with
Wait for the Mass Effect thing to wear off, because I'm not going to get a month out of it with Mass Effect on the horizon. Wait for that to wear off, and then we'll think about that. All right. Is that it for the mailbag?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to some other gaming news, and then we're going to get to your calls, Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. But first, Loki.
See, this is the kind of thing that makes me wish I could go to GDC because of this kind of stuff. So Microsoft revealed their... one of their first, remember they were, I think, was this at, God, I'm trying to remember when they announced the, like their headsets that they were coming, but I know it was relatively recent that they announced that they're going to be developing some actual VR headsets and stuff. But anyways, one of the first ones that they were talking about, of course, Acer, Asus, and Dell were going to develop mixed reality headsets, and they showed off the one from Acer. And so apparently if you went to this event, you also got one of the free dev kits, which I totally would want. But the Acer Windows Mixed Reality Development Edition, it has two screens that are 1440 by 1440 and a native 90 hertz refresh rate, built-in audio, and a headphone jack. Plus, what's kind of cool is it doesn't require any built-in tracking. So it's going to basically allow developers not have to rely on external tracking, you know, like they have with like the Vive and stuff like that. So it's going to, I guess it has some way to track built on in the actual headset. The little video that they kind of showed demonstrating, it looks neat. It's more of like kind of what they were showing with the whole Windows holographic, where, you know, more of like an office setting. You know, you can have it interact with the stuff that's in your room. I mean, they have like a picture in this of like Skype and some virtual dog thing and, you know, I don't know, Outlook or something like that. Not too exciting. But I still think I'd be pretty excited by like doing that. Virtual office would be pretty sweet. No word on when they're actually going to be released, but it's neat to see that stuff is coming along. And hopefully with that coming along, it won't require such a, you know, powerful PC to run. The other cool thing, Oculus announced that they're cutting the price of the Oculus Rift and Touch bundles to $598. That is down $200. Plus, not only that, you can get the controller set for $99 instead of $199.
While they're still allowed to sell them.
Good point.
Which hopefully that lawsuit.
I actually thought about them. Like, they're just trying to get rid of those as quickly as possible.
That was my first thought. Is like, wow, they're going to try to sandbag this shit before they can't sell them anymore. It's kind of interesting. Although, obviously, I would hope that doesn't happen. But, you know.
Right.
I mean, that lawsuit was kind of interesting, fascinating. So
they're saying, though, you know, they're talking about also, as I mentioned, you know, expensive PC. Nowadays, though, with the hardware's coming out, it's getting cheaper and cheaper to own a PC that can actually be VR ready.
Yeah.
So they're saying that when the Oculus first came out, you know, a PC like that would have cost about $1,000. Nowadays, though, it's about $700. Mm. And they said you can even get by with a PC that's built for like $400 at minimum specs. So That's not bad.
Not bad at all. I definitely need to get up off my ass and redo what I wanted to do here in the studio with upgrading OLR. Cause
I'm very curious with the new AMD Ryzen chips that they had come out to see. Those are supposed to perform pretty well. So and they're cheaper than the Microsoft chips or, you know, the Intel chips. So I don't know. I'm a kind of an Intel fanboy. I've got AMD in my laptop and I don't really care for it too much, but the Ryzen chips sound good.
I'm going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. I'm still fascinated on this whole relaxing game talk. There's been a lot of talk in there. I'm just catching up while Loki was reading that story. So back on the relaxing thing for a minute. Brad from Pod Culture suggesting No Man's Sky is a great Zen game. Yeah, that game had a lot in common with Minecraft. Like, I understand that game is riddled with controversy. But, you know, again, we've talked about this to death. But for what it is, there's a lot to enjoy about it. And, yeah, there's definitely a lot of relaxing stuff in No Man's Sky. Kassen in chat says Stardew sounds like it could be my Zen game. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are into Stardew Valley for that, for sure. Dungeon Buster agreeing Stardew is pretty Zen. You don't need to rush into stuff, and you can just grow things.
Do they have that out on the Switch already? I know that was...
It's coming. It's not out yet. It wasn't a launch title. Pardon me. It wasn't a launch title. They were saying that it is going to be the first place you can do multiplayer. Stardew Valley will be on the Switch. So that's what Nintendo's getting. That's a little special. SG100 Matt is pointing out, I remember at MAGFest where they did Yoga for Gamers, they played Minecraft music during it. JD saying Mini Metro is a good Zen game. William Murderface says Terraria is my chill game. Gotta mind them 2D pixels. Yeah, kind of like a 2D version of Minecraft. Right?
You know, my relaxing game, of course, is Until Dawn, Rush of Blood.
It's not relaxing at all.
It can't be if you played it enough.
That's like saying I'm going to go play Resident Evil 7 just to chill out and relax a little bit. I just want a nice, easy evening. Stress-free. I'm going to play Slenderman just to, you know, chill out. I have the hiccups. This is the worst. All right. Let me try to get through this story. One of the games that is on the Switch for launch is Shovel Knight. I haven't picked this up yet because I already own Shovel Knight on, I think, PlayStation 4 and Wii U. So I was kind of like, do I really want to buy this game again? But this Shovel Knight, they have Spectre of Torment separately, right? The prequel or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They have that separate. But this Shovel Knight actually has all the original DLC included with it, which is pretty cool. And also with Shovel Knight, they are actually allowing you to do gender swapping in this new version of Shovel Knight. Although they're calling it body swap, I should be clear there. It's called body swap. But you can actually change the look and the text of Shovel Knight, Shield Knight, Black Knight, Plague Knight, and Propeller Knight to be male or female. So you could be a male Shovel Knight trying to save a male Shield Knight, or you could be like a female Shovel Knight trying to save a male Shield Knight, or whatever the hell it is that you want to do. You can change that in the characters. And what's cool has been there's been a whole little like kind of like looking into how these characters were designed. Then you actually get to see a little bit that goes into it where it's not just like the female versions have a bow in their hair. They're very different, and sometimes it's very subtle. Like when I look at the female Shovel Knight, I have a really hard time seeing the difference. But there is a difference, and they point out some of the stuff there. So
does female Shovel Knight have more boobs, or I mean,
yes, but it's not like over the top. I mean, yes, women have breasts, so there is a breast area, but it's not like dead or alive breasts. You know what I mean?
Yes, I get
it's nor it's what you would expect a normal woman to look like in a knight outfit.
Nobody ever said dead or alive was set on Earth, so.
And sometimes the fun way to play it is with gravity from the moon, right?
It's just gravity from the moon, only in the chest area. That's really everywhere else, you know, it's its own thing.
Let's see. SSG 100 Matt says, it's funny that Shane all of a sudden is going crazy over Shovel Knight. Now, he's not here to defend himself, although I've told him he can come on the show whenever he wants. But yes, I think it's funny, too, because I tried to like play that game before for him. But now that it's on the Switch, Shane is all about the Switch. I almost wish he was here tonight to kind of be a nice little counterbalance to maybe some of the negativity, because Shane is like nothing but positive on Switch right now. So maybe I'll get him here on a future week. But now that Shovel Knight's on the Switch, he's checking that out. So interesting. All right. Moving on. Let's get to another story from Dark Sakura.
There is some smart garbage out there. It's actually a trash can that has a game built into it. So it's called the Tetra Bin, and it basically rewards you for throwing away garbage by having a little game built into it. I couldn't see too much about it, but like pretty much the way that it works, it looks almost like it's got a Duck Hunt screen on it. And when you drop your can in, there is birds will like go and try to catch the garbage on the digitized screen. And there's like dogs and bats and they're bats, not birds. But they fly around going, feed me, feed me. And so when you feed them, you get a code that can be redeemed on the Tetra Bin website so that you can get like stuff in the mail, like freebies and samples and things like that. So
and trash. That's the cycle never ends.
But the whole thing is it's meant to encourage other people to get into the habit of picking up trash that you see around and throw away. So, which everyone should fucking be doing. Actually, everyone should just be throwing away their own garbage. Don't leave your shit. Throw it away. There's a trash can.
And don't leave your dog shit either.
Yes, that too. If you don't have a trash can handy, put it in a bag or something. And then wait until you can throw it away. It's not that fucking hard. But anyway, it's a good incentive, and I think it's a cute idea. So,
but the real question is, can you install Linux on it?
Probably. I bet it's running on Linux.
I was going to say, it's probably running Linux.
That's true. It probably is.
That's it on that.
All right. Just a couple more stories for you guys, and then the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio.
So Riot Games has won a lawsuit against a website called League Sharp. And League Sharp was a website running, it allowed you to sign up for $15 to $50 a month for access to numerous bot scripts that would allow players to perform maneuvers that they would, you know, be very difficult for them to do otherwise in League of Legends. And so, of course, you know, they went after them because that's, you know, a big no-no. And They won $10 million.
$10 million?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yep.
Wow.
And, of course, being that they won the websites no more.
But that software is still out there for people to use, right? I'm just kidding. Once on the internet, always on the internet. All right. Don't write cheap programs for games that rely on these things to make money, right? Or you might find yourself in court, too.
Don't cheat in online games. There you go.
That's a very good way of putting it. Don't cheat in online games. That's very good. All right. I'm going to try to get through this. I have hiccups, though, and this is the worst possible thing that could happen on the radio, in my opinion. But anyway, I'm trying to get through this. This week launched the Video Game History Foundation. This is pretty cool. Being launched by a former games journalist and developer, Frank Cifaldi, who was involved with the... you know what's funny? Is I was on a podcast he was on, but we were on at different times. And so we weren't like on there together, but like I know they were promoting that he was coming up next after me, or the other way around. But anyway, he was involved with the Mega Man collection. So I know he does a lot with the retro video games. And I want to say, didn't he drop hints that there might be something else coming with that whole Mega Man thing? Well, anyway, he does a lot with video game restoration. I think the story that was going around about the Joust game that Iwata had been involved with on the NES, we talked about a few months ago. I think he was involved with that as well. So it seems like when there is a digging up something in video games past thing going on, this guy does seem to be involved. So, this is a guy that seems to be a good fit for this, working with this Video Game History Foundation. It's a non-profit organization dedicated to preserving the past of video games, not just code, but the printed materials, advertisements and other things that go into video games. So the first project launched this week. It's a digital archive of pamphlets and ads surrounding the NES's original launch in 1985. So they are on Patreon if you want to support them there, or you can check out their website, gamehistory.org, and you can actually do a tax-deductible donation over there. This is something they are saying is important because... especially when it comes to CD-ROMs, which was a huge era of gaming, right? Our classic game of the week, part of that CD-ROM era of gaming, right? CD-ROMs don't last forever. And some of the CD-ROMs out there are really starting to break down. So they want to preserve as much as possible of this so that future generations kind of know what the history of video gaming looked like. You know, unrelated to this, but maybe related a little bit, I was reading a story this week about, I guess... like the old CRT televisions that go in old video game cabinets, like they don't make them anymore. Like as of this past couple weeks, they don't make CRT TVs anymore. They're done. So if you want to replace like a TV in a video game cabinet and you can't get one to recycle, you have to get like an LCD monitor, which isn't a pure way to do it. You know, it's going to be different on an LCD screen versus the old CRTs. So... that is an era of gaming that's going away, too. Wasn't the process of making those actually kind of dangerous, and that's part of the reason why they don't do it that way anymore? Like, there's like gas inside the tubes that make it run and all that stuff, right? So I think that's a part of the reason why they don't do that
anymore. They were a vacuum, and if you know, they had, like, really high capacitors in them and stuff, that you got to be careful to, you know, discharge that stuff before you start working on them, so as you don't electrocute yourself.
Yeah.
It's less than ideal, but... you know, it's still good, you know, good tech if you're into, like, you know, fighting games and stuff like that.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, older magazines are also getting harder to come by, which is why it's nice that places such as archive.org have a lot of these scanned copies there. Yeah, that's very true. All right. Well, we're going to open up the Skype line right now. It's time for you to give us a call if you want to talk about anything we've talked about in this part of the show or maybe the first part of the show. Or whatever is on your mind tonight. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. And it's already lighting up over there. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Act Deft.
Hey, Act Deft. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay, mostly.
Yeah, I know you were one of those people that got screwed by Amazon, huh?
Yeah, one of the many, but I'm going to focus on something really great that we talked on Twitter the other day.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, we were talking about well, Breath of the Wild having that's an American dub, and it, while it's not something new that the games that have recently done, at least in the past few years, it has grown. I'm still really happy to see that Nintendo has adopted this onto their games. I was not hearing about only Breath of the Wild. Also, One to Switch also has Latin American dubs. So it's really awesome to see that game companies, even right now, Sony and Microsoft, back in the 360 days, it's something that they have done. And as a person that, well, still speaks English and also Spanish, in a native way, it's really good to see that they're adopting this to sell their games on other countries.
Yeah, the back and forth that we were having on Twitter was that you had posted like a clip of your Overwatch play of the game, and I noticed that it was using, you know, obviously the Latin American language, and I thought it was neat because it kind of emulates, you know, like that robotic voice that goes play of the game. Like it says it in Spanish instead. And then it kind of got me thinking about like how, oh yeah, you have all these other voice actors who kind of emulate the whole like McCree going, it's high noon, you know, probably saying it in a very similar way, but in the Latin American dialect. And it's just kind of interesting to me to listen to that sometimes. And I watch the Twitch streams on Twitch where they have like Japanese voice acting and all that stuff as well, which I think is neat.
Yeah, also Blizzard did the Overwatch dub for Latin America and many other countries. It has so many dubs in many languages that it's pretty amazing to see. No, and it's something curious because at least in PC you can have like the English text and have another language be the voice. Like have it in Japanese or have it in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great to see something like this and I'm gonna repeat myself again, but it's really amazing to see because it's something that in the PlayStation 2 era, like in that generation, we did see games in Spanish, but many developers were like really, really lazy and used the Spanish that is used in Spain, which it ain't that much different from Latin America, but it does sound different, and we don't use in Latin America the same language they use in or at least the same words.
There's a whole verb conjugation that you don't use in Latin America that they do in Spanish, right? Vosotros? That doesn't even exist really in Latin America, right?
Yeah, in Spain, they use vosotros.
Yeah.
Which is basically like you and plural. But we use in Latin America what is ustedes, that is you plural for us, so... Yeah, it's not even the same, and it's another verb conjugation. And again, it isn't that we don't understand it, because it's like something that was teach even not even like 30 years ago. So maybe some people do know about it, but still, it sounds weird. So,
well,
and again, it's something like really, really lazy, because they didn't even give a chance to for a Latin American dub or even a translation or an adaptation to be done.
JD's asking in chat, I'm curious about Latin American localizations. Do they pick a country's dialect to standardize on, since there's some variation between like Caribbean, Central American? I mean, but wouldn't that be, I mean, technically you could say even within North America, the USA, somebody in California is going to sound somebody different from somebody in Alabama, right? Dark Sakura, sometimes her Alabama side kicks in, right?
Yeah.
Versus in the Northeast, where somebody might say wicked awesome, which is like not something you hear here ever. So, you know, like there's little things like that, right? I mean,
Yeah. There's definitely things like that. And sorry for the interruption.
That's okay.
But yeah, we in Mexico, we have even like so many dialects, so many accents also. But speaking like of Latin America as a whole, pretty much each region, Mexico, Central America, South America, have distinct accents. So it's not necessarily the same, and not even the same use of words. But most, at least as of recent, most companies, speaking of movies, television, and all that, and now games, try to use like a neat neutral standard, neutral Spanish. So it doesn't use like words that we maybe use in Mexico that aren't used in other countries.
Like so, yeah, hella. We say hella in Northern California, but nobody else says that. So we wouldn't put hella in a video game.
Yeah, unless unless like your character is from California and you're gonna try to emphasize that. But
right.
Other than that, like for example, and I'm gonna put the example of McCree, since he's a cowboy, he does have like a typical northern Mexican accent, somewhat. So they give at least he doesn't use that many words, like specialized words or I lost the word specifically for it, but like idioms or but yeah, you get
slang.
You get the idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's the voice actor for Lucio in Latin America. He does like this fake Brazilian accent too. So yeah, it sounds funny also. No, and it's really great to see stuff like this, and to talk about this because it's something that I really appreciate as a translator myself. So.
No, I think it's really fascinating. I think it's cool. I think I like to just like listen to the games in the other languages and hear like those small nuances and things like that. And yeah, I think it's great that, you know, it makes the game more accessible to other players, which I think is a great thing, of course. Ooh, excuse me. Still have those hiccups. But the problem is with or not the problem, but the interesting thing with Zelda is that there's not a lot of dialogue that they're going to have to localize either. Well, the written dialogue, yes, but the voice acting isn't everywhere. I mean, it's still weird to hear voice acting in a Zelda game at all, but they still use the general, like, like in some places, like those little noises, they use that a lot. But there is definitely some scenes that are voice acted, and yeah, it's kind of interesting to hear in the Zelda series. But now our friends in Latin America will get to hear it in their native language.
Yeah, and hopefully Nintendo doesn't cut this trend like, oh, it's only for this few games. I hope to see this become a trend, like probably with Xenoblade. It would be like really awesome to see with Xenoblade 2 coming this year to see like a Latin American dub. So hopefully, but we'll see. At least we're taking the game companies in general are taking steps toward localizing stuff like for region, not specifically for language. So that's really, really great.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
All right. ACTEFT, I'm going to let you go, but thanks so much for the phone call, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Orange Lounge Radio on Skype if you want to give us a call and talk to me while I have the hiccups here. Let me check in with Loki to see if there's any last-minute stories.
Sure, yeah, we can talk about a few things. So how about the games that are coming out for PlayStation Plus in March? So you're going to get Tearaway...
I think Darksoccer covered those during Rapid Fire.
Yeah. My mistake, wasn't paying attention. All right, and then how about we talk about the campaign here. So the GoFundMe campaign for a new Nick Arcade show starring Phil Moore is going to be launching. And that's for a Battle Arcade. It's supposed to be kind of the same type of premise. That's awesome. I'm down with that. Especially with that reboot of Starcade coming back as well. So, and
everything old is new again.
Yeah. And then the other thing, you know, just kind of a PSA, I guess. don't put adhesives on your Switch console because I guess it takes off the paint because of whatever paint or coating they put on it. It's not as durable as some of the other systems out there.
Which is be careful with that stuff when it's not officially licensed for sure.
Well, even, yeah, I mean, Dbrand is the one that kind of pointed that out because they're developing skins for that console. And they're like, hey, you know, we've, you know, got the retail version and we found that it's been pulling paint up. So we're canceling all your orders for that stuff. You know, just to let you know, don't do that. So, which is kind of nice of them.
Please do not do that. All right. Well, our phone's not really ringing, so I think I'm going to go ahead and shut it down and wrap up the show tonight. My hiccups are going crazy, so I think it's time to...
We didn't do FUs.
I think it's time to shut that down. You need to do some FUs tonight, Darsakra?
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it then before we say goodnight. The FUs of the week.
FU to sinus infections and FU to dealing with Kaiser over all of this shit. I'm ready to be done. Fuck it. Also, FU to not being able to finish an entire cooldown fight. I'm done.
FU to the hiccups. What did I do to deserve this other than maybe drinking water a little fast? Because I was trying to get to the next story. Man, Loki, you have anything to get off your chest tonight?
I just wish I hadn't eaten 11 breadsticks. Other than that, I'm fine.
Look at this. F you to 11 breadsticks.
Maybe like 6 breadsticks next time.
6 breadsticks.
I always say 6 breadsticks, but then I'm like, I'm so hungry. And I mean, I was hungry enough to eat 11, so, you know, 6 might have been
pretty hungry. It's pretty hungry. All right. That is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning into our show tonight. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word. We don't have any big magazine behind us or anything like that. Word of mouth is all we got. So we can be the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to air on air. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes goes a long way as well. If you have not yet written a review for the show on iTunes, please consider doing that. I really, really, really appreciate that. Again, not asking you to donate money or anything like that. Just take 15 seconds to write a review. It would be awesome. Really appreciate that. That's going to do it. Let's go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. Darsakra.
I really am enjoying the new Jessica Jones comic, which really goes into the regular Marvel Universe and not the TV series. Definitely worth a read. Also, resist.
My final thought is, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be doing streaming after the show tonight, even though I wanted to start making that a regular thing after last week went very well. Thank you guys for checking that out at twitch.tv/RobRoberts, cheap plug. I'm actually going to get a new monitor for my studio so I can fix some problems that I'm having with the ratio. And I haven't had a chance to test the Switch broadcasting yet, so I'm not ready to do that yet tonight. I'm hoping that I can do maybe some Blaster Master next week or whatever game I decide I want to do. But yeah, so I'm not going to be going after the show tonight, which is fine anyway, because my hiccups are, yeah, I need to go lie down and breathe into a paper bag or something. So anyway, last but not least, Loki, your final thought.
My final thought is I'm tired. That's it.
All right. Right, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. We will see you in 7 days to do it all over again. Until then, don't be a jerk to people online. Don't give people the hiccups. And have a good night. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.